Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Have no place to go, darling. Ah, what's that smell in the air? It's Monday. Clouds covering Chicago. Hope wherever you are, it's sunny. Inside and out. Mark Carpenter here for Dave Ennett for, is it just today?
Just today. Dave will be back tomorrow, but next week, Dave's going away, so.
He's
going
to be gone for like 10 days.
Yeah,
will you be sharing the microphone in the studio here with yourself? No, will you be filling in for Ennett for those 10 days?
I will be filling in, Steve. You're going to get a whole lot of me.
That's going to be good.
I mean, I'm very excited about it. I hope you are.
The audience looks, of course I am. The audience looks forward to a wedding update. Will you provide that later?
Lots of updates, Steve, yes. Okay.
The great Jim Gaffigan live in studio later this morning. He's got a new movie coming out where he has two families. That can't work out well. Don't be thinking, Mark, that's an option for you.
See, I like that move, Steve. Be flexible in life. Why stick to the traditional? Ooh. Go for two.
That's complicated.
Who brought him in?
Settle down, Mary.
Hi, Mary.
Good morning.
How was your weekend?
It was so fast.
Really? Were you doing a lot of stuff?
I don't know what I was doing. I saw a play yesterday at Wheaton Drama, the Sweeney Todd.
Oh, sure.
Dark.
Yeah, sure.
Dark musical, but they do a great job at that Wheaton Drama. It's really good.
They don't actually kill anyone in that real.
No, okay, good. There were quite a few killings.
Yeah, oh, sure. Sweeney Todd. Hilarious. Yeah.
I saw somebody nearly die this weekend, Steve. I shouldn't joke about that, really, but I sort of did. I went to UFC 238. You've ever seen UFC live?
No. I'm familiar with the concept, but no, I have not.
Well, Jessica Eye, they call her Jessica the Evil Eye. She was fighting against Valentina Shevchenko. And she made it through the first round. She'd make it through the second. Little swift kick for the old foot to the head and knocked out, and she was down for a long time. Then she got up and looked around and said, "Did I get knocked out?" Yes, you did.
What do we know? Is she okay today?
She's fine. She's great. Well, I haven't talked to her personally. I'm sure she walked off. I think she's maybe, you know.
Women are so tough.
Right?
Those kickboxers. Oh, my gosh. How many times do you think she's been concussed?
A lot.
Yeah.
Often.
I have a total double standard here. I don't need to see women fighting.
And some men really like that, don't they?
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah,
I didn't see anybody leaving when they stepped in there. I don't know if you would have left either, Steve. I got to be honest. I think you probably
would. Well, it probably would have been a problem because I wouldn't have been there.
So why were you there? Were you covering this?
I've interviewed a bunch of the fighters, and so I just wanted to see it up close. Uh-huh.
I forgot your girlfriend's name.
Chelsea, did she go with you? My lovely fiance came. She was all excited, and then she got in there. The first one kick to like just the shit, she was like, "Oh!" And I'm like,
"Did you want to leave then?"
After the first spot, I had to. No, we're not leaving. You were excited about this. Just settle it. It's going to be violent. There's going to be blood, but I didn't expect that. Jessica, I was going
to
be laying.
It's just
on
good
the
to hear the romance hasn't left your relationship already.
Right. Well,
hey, honey, what do we got to do today? I know. Let's go watch two women kick the hell out of each other.
It's a beautiful day outside, but let's go inside and watch. That.
There's a women's, but what? They're going to fight? Yes, they are. The guy who won the main event, Henry Cejudo, Steve.
Yeah, the great Henry Cejudo.
The great Henry Cejudo. He's an Olympic champion.
Oh, exciting.
In wrestling, and now he holds the bout in two weight divisions. He put on 10 pounds to go up a division, and he beat somebody.
Another guy.
Yeah, Moraes. That's terrible that I'm.
Is this sport still on the in the growth curve that it was in?
It was packed.
Okay.
It's not going away, Steve. I think it's going to be bigger than. I think it already is bigger than boxing.
It probably is.
There's a ton of UFC fans listening right now. I can feel it.
Listen, I don't knock your love for the sports. Just not for me.
I don't know if I love it. Can we walk that back? I just wanted to see the event. I was entertained, though. I did.
Speaking of violence, bad transition. Is David Ortiz really going to be okay?
His dad says he is. So
I just don't know. We can take this up with Dr. Most. All speculative, obviously, but I don't know how David Ortiz in a bar last night in the Dominican Republic, apparent attempted robbery. He was shot at point blank range in the back, and the bullet supposedly passed through his abdomen and didn't hit any vital organs. I don't know how you could be shot at that close range and not be in serious trouble.
His father said that Big Poppy is going to be around for a long time.
Right.
But yes, it's super scary stuff, right?
We'll get to the top six at six coming up. I mentioned Gaffigan will be in studio. Also, Patty Vasquez later is going to call it. Ryan Nobles will be on the show. There were about 114 Democrats in Iowa last night trying to get people's attention. And, well, you guys on the phone, obviously, and texters, 312-981-7200, amongst catching up on the weekend. An odd experience yesterday. I don't drink coffee. I grab a Diet Coke in the morning. Usually that involves a McDonald's drive-through run.
Mm, so good.
And in front of me was a car, an old car, covered in Jesus references and religious slogans. I mean, just covered. I'm talking about bumper stickers, you know, the car painted, a couple of biblical verses referenced all over the car.
Did he flip you off?
Almost.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. I don't have a lot of patience. There's more to the sentence. I don't have a lot of patience for the I'm texting, I know the light turned green, but I'm busy. Or I'm texting, I didn't notice the light turned green. In this case, there's a lot of people on a Sunday morning who are just trying to get whatever they're having. Breakfast, in my case, a Diet Coke. Maybe they're getting a coffee. You just want to move on with your life. It's not a social gathering. We're not hanging out. So super religious guy is either looking down at his phone or whatever, but he's not moving. He's ordered. Now he's not moving. He's holding up the entire line.
He could have been reading the Bible.
Granted, it's only a few seconds, but it's time to move. That's the way a civilized society moves. So I just tapped the horn, and he leaned out of the car and started screaming at me.
How long was
and
the
none
time?
Of the none of, by the way, none of the references were Jesus related.
No Lord's name in vain.
No, no, but a lot.
Well, that's
of,
good then.
A lot of profanity.
Was it the friendliest tap you could possibly give? How would you rate the tap?
Yeah, the double toot.
The double toot.
Yeah, the double toot is a, hey, hello. Hello, let's move along.
I suppose you were on your way to church.
You know, I didn't make church yesterday, but I should
have.
I should have afterwards.
After that,
yeah. Yeah. But I did say God bless you after he stopped cursing. My point is, I think you have to match the decor. Well, if your car is covered in Jesus slogans, have a little Christianity in you.
Maybe he had stolen the car.
It's possible. I hadn't thought about that.
It's a scary place to do it, though, in the drive-thru, right? Because if he gets angry, you have no out. I mean, you can't make a quick right turn and drive away.
Well, you know, I had that happen at the old Rock and Roll McDonald's many years ago, but there was, like, concrete on both sides, and you pull in, and it's early in the morning when I'm doing this, right? So I pull in, and there's four guys that I didn't know they were gangbangers at the time, but four guys in the car in front of me, and all of a sudden, through the back window, I see the two guys in the front punching each other in the face. And it's gotten ugly now. Really, like a full fist fight in the front seat of the car as they pull up to the window. Then the guy on the driver's side gets out, comes back, opens his trunk, and pulls out a shotgun.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
at which point, the women in the You Pay Here window were, like, ducking down. And I am in a giant SUV, and I'm trying to subtly back out without being shot. So he holds the gun at the guy in the front seat. I assume by now the McDonald's people have called 911. I can't back out because now there's a car behind me who doesn't understand what's going on. And I'm witness to this. And I see the woman hand the food to the guy with the gun, who then goes and puts his gun back, gets in the car, throws the food at the people in the back seat, and hits the guy in the face one more time before he pulls off.
I can't believe the service that they still gave the food. That's amazing.
Yeah. And nobody left the car.
I mean, we shouldn't laugh about this, but that's amazing.
Well, you got the right order.
You got to really be hungry if you're going to let him hit you in the face one more time to get your whatever.
Here's your Big Mac, sir. Can you please move along with your shotgun? So,
no, I didn't order a Big Mac. Bam.
None of these are related to the problem of the Golden Arches. They're just the people at the Golden Arches at those particular times.
Right.
All right, we'll come back and do the top six at six. Steve, how are you today?
I'm well. How are you, Steve?
Doing fine. Doing
Thanks
fine.
For asking.
How was your weekend?
It was great. Did a little bit more construction work around the house. I think I'm almost there, full on construction guy.
What are you selling or what?
Maybe.
Oh.
What were you doing? What sort of touch up this weekend?
Well, this weekend I was cleaning out my garage and I built shelves in the.
Look at you.
what is it called?
The garage?
Not the, I guess it would be the eaves or the place of, you know, the, not the, the ceiling, toward the ceiling of the garage.
I see.
So I laid down some...
the rafters?
Yeah, the rafters. That's it, Mary.
There you go.
So I made some shelving up there and put some stuff up there that I'd been, you know...
Look at you.
Yeah, I know.
Mr. Handy.
Got a little bit of plywood and the saw out. Arr.
I'm shocked and impressed, Steve. Congrats.
Yeah. Well, so. Steve's clearly the real man on the show.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Your kicks.
Get your kicks.
With the top six at six. Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling. The 60 Minute Men.
You guys never asked how, you know, my weekend was.
How was your weekend, Steve?
Got a haircut.
For real?
Yeah.
Yeah, you almost got attacked at the drive-thru.
Yeah.
It does look very...
high and tight.
Yeah.
So the other 47 hours, 45 minutes of the weekend...
How long does that take?
About 15.
Oh, 15.
That includes two stories and a tip.
And walking in and walking out.
Yeah.
You go shampoo? They offer that for you?
Oh, yeah, sure. What do you mean they offer that for me?
I don't know. I would feel like you don't need a shampoo, do you? You're good, right?
You shampoo your scalp as well as your bald.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, that's my weekend. Thanks. Your top six at six, the massive capital construction plan that was approved by Illinois lawmakers includes $1 billion for roadwork on I-80. That's the I-80 bridge we're talking about, right, Mayor? The disastrous I-80 bridge?
It's actually going to replace, hopefully, two bridges on the Des Plaines River Bridge, including that one. So
The one really bad one, though, is the one that people talk about all the time?
Mm-hmm. And that's the good old gas tax that's going up is going to be paying for that, hopefully.
So here's what I understand. If you're taking a bridge out, of, you know, by way of construction, how do you go where you need to go?
That's going to be some alternates posted there because they're going to, I think they're going to probably maybe do it slowly, hopefully, you know, do one lane at a time. And it depends on how bad the foundation is.
Okay. They do it in parts, Steve.
They do it all in parts.
Well, there's just a detour and you have to go to another bridge. This is a case that's my family in Southern Illinois is dealing with flooding. Over the Ohio River, there's a bridge that's out and they have to go an hour and a half out of their way to go across the other bridge to the groceries places that they go to, yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah. It's a big deal.
That's why they don't replace bridges very often.
Yeah, I suppose so.
Steve, I just want to let you know, there's a huge spider outside the window behind you. If you're at all concerned, it just looks like it could eat the window and come into the studio.
I'm fine with that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Next, life expectancy gap. How about this story? Two Chicago neighborhoods have the largest life expectancy gap in the nation. This is a study that was done by the NYU School of Medicine. I don't quite know how they got to this realization, but Streeterville, the average life expectancy in Streeterville is now 90 years old. That's 10 years above the national average. However, in not so far neighboring Inglewood on the city's south side, the number plummets to 60. It's the largest gap in a single large American city, 30 years difference between Inglewood and Streeterville in a new analysis by NYU. What do you want to do with that information? Well, I don't know, but it just certainly shows that we've got some problems we need to work on, and I suppose it could affect funding for those problems. Next, Southern Illinois, a particular abortion provider there, is preparing for a huge upsurge of patients as Missouri is on the verge of closing their last clinic for the same. Next. Did you go to the Bears 100 celebration?
I did not, Steve, but I watched closely from a distance, if you will.
Jim McMahon and Mitch Trubisky. What's his name?
Mitchell Trubisky.
That guy?
Yeah, Trubisky.
Trubisky and McMahon both gave some pointers on how to play quarterback, and a star-studded defensive line panel fired up the crowd. According to Jared Payton, we were out there on Thursday for his golf outing. He said McMahon's major concern was the panel was supposed to be at 9 o'clock Saturday morning, and he thought he might be up at night with the boys.
Good for Jim. I thought it was pretty cool, though. He gave Trubisky his headband and his sunglasses as sort of a passing of the torch. It's good to have, like, arguably the greatest quarterback in the history of the franchise. Maybe you could throw Sid Luckman in there.
Yeah, maybe so. Yeah, he had a pretty good run.
Sid had four titles, so he probably deserves that. But Jimbo was phenomenal. If he had stayed healthy, they would have won more Super Bowls. Just to have that little endorsement for Trubisky, I think, was just...
I think McMahon giving his headband over probably made Nagy call Ditka and go, was it as bad as I heard?
Perhaps. Mike was there, though. He was getting emotional. I enjoyed seeing a sort of a reflective Mike Ditka at the celebration.
I'm just glad he's up and around.
Right?
Yeah. Next. Hades Town dominated the Tony Awards. But I tell you what, I didn't see a lot of it, but James Corden is really talented. I'm not a big fan of his show, his talk show, his late night show, but he's really talented.
Do you like his car karaoke? You ever watch those?
Well, he stole the bit from us.
Did he steal that from
us? Yeah, from John DeCoss. Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
Well, what are you going to do?
Filing lawsuits, perhaps?
No.
No?
Nah. No. Okay. I just want everyone to be happy.
I'm on the same page with you on this, Steve. I used to not be a fan, but I was watching a little bit last night. I mean, this guy can sing. He can dance. He's funny. I don't know. I might have to start watching his show.
Well, and you see him get up with people who professionally sing and dance. That's their deal.
Right.
And he's with them.
Yeah, he keeps his own.
So I was very impressive. And by the way, I have all the viral video stuff you'll see today. If you see James Corden sitting in a bathroom stall, watch it. It's funny.
I forgot it was on.
Darn. Well, a lot of people were watching the hockey.
Yeah.
And last night, the St. Louis Blues did never come close to closing it out.
4 goals in the third period for the Bruins, 5-1. First time the Bruins have ever hosted a Game 7.
Is that right?
Yeah, Wednesday.
That's
night.
Wild.
Yeah.
St. Louis will win that game.
Are you serious?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. And finally this, goat, sheep, and a donkey named Jackson all returned to O'Hare to help manage vegetation. It's the 6th year the grazing herd is being used to eat the overgrown plants that obstruct aircraft takeoff. They'll be here for most of the summer. I just don't quite, are they fenced in? Because, you know, if I'm rolling down the runway and I'm about to take off, you know, in a 737 and suddenly a goat named Jackson walks out in front of me.
I saw video of this, and I think they are fenced in with the airport property, so they can't get out on the expressway. But I don't think they are. I think they could get onto the runway if they wanted to, but I think their handlers are probably there keeping them from doing that. I don't know. It wasn't clear from the video I saw how that happened.
Do they have a dog that like herds them in?
Well, there's a dog that's there, yeah. But the video I saw was just these animals by themselves.
So it could be like instant hero.
According to this, Steve, the donkey is named Jackson. The goat, I don't see a name for the goat.
Has no name. Neither does the sheep.
The sheep.
Well, the donkey wandering on the runway is an even bigger problem, literally. That's your top 6 at 6.
That's it!
That's all today for the top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
Doctor.
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 And doctor. Well, we miss anyone?
He's Northwestern Medicine BP. Call Dr. Morse right now. Doc Morse.
Our main topic, Alzheimer's. We'll get to it in a moment. And we know how important it is and obviously a lot of interest. Good morning, Dr. Morse.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Doing fine. How are you today?
I'm doing great at 4 o'clock in the morning in Seattle.
Yeah, I know you're out west. Business or just a good time?
No, business. I'm here at American Hospital Association. We have our selection committee today to choose physician executives to serve on some clinical committees here. So it's all work today.
Why Seattle? They couldn't get the Aleutian Islands or someplace less convenient to get to?
Exactly. No, they're very fair. What they do is they take one meeting in Chicago, one meeting in Washington, D.C., and one meeting in Seattle, since we have people
around
from across the country. Yeah,
sure. I'm available to work on an executive committee.
You want to move around the country as well?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, I can do that.
Yep. All right. So happy birthday to Jerry Moe's father over the weekend.
Yeah. Yep. David's birthday
oh,
Friday.
Is his name David?
Happy birthday to him.
Okay. I mean, I know Jerry. Listen, it's not completely unfair to ask you this, but you're the doc. Speculate for me. If, from what we know right now, on the David Ortiz story, is that Ortiz is in a bar in the Dominican, and somebody tries to rob him. They end up shooting him at point-blank range in the back. There's emergency surgery. His father said he's going to be fine, but that's his dad. And my question to you as a doctor is, and again, this is all speculation. You have no access, obviously, to the records of what happened. We're just going on what's been reported. You get shot point blank in the back. I don't know that we know you're going to be okay yet.
Yeah, know, it really depends. If you think about your back, the most important thing, obviously, the spine that runs down the middle. But you can get hit other places in your back where you could do damage, but, you know, it depends on the caliber of the bullet and so forth.
Okay.
But if it hits the scapula, which is a very strong bone, it may go through the scapula, may go into your lung, you might drop a lung. But if it doesn't hit your spine, there are other things that we can do to take care of. Even if it hits, say, portions of your abdomen, hits your spleen, hits your liver, those can surgically be repaired. The big thing is you don't want it to hit the back, the spine itself, because that's where you're going to do damage that is you can't repair it.
So all we can do is hope that he is as lucky as his father claims he is.
Yes, absolutely. Yep.
They had to take out parts of his intestines, his colon, and his gallbladder, and he has liver damage. So
yeah. Okay. Shot on the right side, then the right side of the back, the liver and the gallbladder sit right below the right side of our rib cage there, and then the colon runs right across that as well. So that makes total sense that it missed his spine and then hit portions of his intestines.
But he's got a pretty tough uphill battle here, and 43 years old, a guy that does an awful lot for the DR and a very charitable guy. It's just it's a sad story. That's all.
It is a sad story, and just shows us that gun violence is everywhere.
All right, the main story, Alzheimer's. A 1991 study came out, showed that a drug called, is it Inderol?
Yeah. So Inderol is a beta blocker, right? And it showed that it helped professional golfers actually decrease their performance anxiety.
Okay.
And when they get nervous, our heart rate goes up. Our heart rate goes up, our blood pressure goes up. What they showed is that this drug decreases your blood pressure and doesn't allow your heart rate to go up. So although it was for blood pressure, the reason I start with it is we had another reason that we would use it. Same with the drug Rogaine. Minoxidil was a drug for blood pressure. When they did the study, they found you grew more hair. So it's interesting sometimes how we run it. We have a drug, and then we find another use for it.
So this is 1991. These happy accidents happen all the time. How does this tie into our story?
Well, my story was, here you have Inderol, supposed to be for blood pressure. Find out it has another use, and people use it for that. Minoxidil, supposed to be for blood pressure. Finds out it has another use to grow hair. Upjohn said, who owned it at the time, said, we don't want anything to do with the miracle hair growth. We're just going to stay silent on that and keep that away from the public. But yet when it came out, everybody noticed it. The big story is what broke last week with Enbrel, which is a rheumatoid drug. People may remember it. Phil Mickelson took it and cured his psoriatic arthritis and made him continue to be a great golfer. What they found out was that this could have a major impact on Alzheimer's disease.
Which is unbelievable.
Yes. That's where the frustration comes out. I put the two other stories first just to say, hey, we know this happens. Sometimes it's, almost comical, right? Oh, a blood pressure medicine that grows hair. But what the part about Enbrel is that they're very disappointing that they've known this for 5 years, that in their when they looked at their studies, it had a 64% decrease in risk of Alzheimer's disease.
Why would they not want to promote that? I mean, forget about even humanity. Wouldn't there be a business benefit to that?
Well, that's what they're saying now. They're saying, we didn't bring this out and we didn't tell anybody about it because we don't believe the science. We don't believe the science behind it actually has anything to do with it. Enbrel doesn't cross the blood-brain barrier, therefore it can't work.
Okay, but what you know in regards to drug testing and how drugs get approved and all of that, there are protocols and there are things that have to happen before a drug comes to market. You could handle all that behind the scenes without unfairly telling the public that there's a cure or a possible help that may not come to fruition. I mean, that didn't have to be public.
Why find out why first? what does it matter? If it works, it works.
And you're absolutely right. It may not cross the blood-brain barrier, but it may do something in your body. It changes a chemical that does cross the blood-brain barrier. They said, it would have cost us $80 million, so we're not going to do it.
Wow.
And we didn't think that the science was there behind it.
Wow. Well, shame on them. I don't know. Can they be sanctioned for something like this? Is there a governor?
No.
It just is what it is.
It's their data. They can do whatever they want with it. But from a medical ethical point of view, we have a lot of people obviously looking at Alzheimer's disease, right? We have no drug that prevents it. We have no drug that slows its progression yet. We have some drugs that might help the cognitive side of it, but really we are so frustrated. We have people looking at it from an anti-inflammatory point of view. That's what Enbrel does. Why not at least let them know so that they could at least look at that tangent and say, okay, how did this work?
You know, I mean, the other thing I don't understand, Kev, is if you say we don't trust the science and it's our scientists who have determined how the drug works effectively, aren't you saying we don't trust our scientists?
Oh, that's even the worst part. The researchers at Pfizer, they wanted to run with this.
So I don't know how you go forward and go, here's the science on our next drug, and you go, whoa, you just said you don't trust your scientists.
It's unbelievable that they at least did not bring it out, make it public, and let the rest of the researchers in the world look at it and say, okay, you don't want to go down that road, we will. Let us look at that.
Exactly. All right, so disappointment aside, Pfizer has what control over Enbrel now that we know this?
Interesting too, you know, and I hate to be the cynic and go to the financial side of it, but Enbrel is going to come off patent here soon,
right.
And you probably have seen commercials for a drug called Xeljanz.
Yep.
That's Pfizer's new rheumatoid drug. So they know once Enbrel comes off patent, someone's going to start making generics of it. Well, they want a new big blockbuster drug that they can continue to charge $60,000 a year for the medication.
Wow. And people wonder why drug companies are held up for scorn the way they are. You know, it's not fair to implicate all of them for the actions of a few, but this is exactly why there's so much cynicism when it comes to the pharmacy business.
Totally. And you know what? When you know you've had the data for 4 or 5 years and you've sat on it,
it's outrageous.
That's even the thing that's more frustrating. If they just found it out and said, oh, we just found out. And believe me, when we're talking, we're looking at studies. They looked at... Now, surely, they're looking at insurance claim data, which is fine because you can easily do it and you can look at large numbers. They looked over like 130,000 people. So it was not, oh, we looked at 20 people and this is what we drew our conclusion. They looked at 130,000 people. And when you show not a 20% decreased risk or 40%, but a 64% decreased risk, that, in my mind, is ethically not proper to hold that information.
Absolutely not. We wish we had better news for you this morning. The cost of Alzheimer's in 2019, $300 million. Every minute someone in the United States develops the disease, 1 in 3 seniors dies from some sort of dementia. You know, the breakthrough could happen tomorrow. It could take 10 years. But Alzheimer's is an umbrella term for a number of debilitative conditions, I suppose, is a way to put it.
Yep.
And, you know, we just got to hope that people who have ethics... We'll move forward in this in a better way. Now, we come back, I want to talk about a different strain of this, and I don't know that Lewy body dementia ties to Alzheimer's, but you'll clear all that up. Bill Buckner passed last week from that. We know Stan Mikita did the same thing. Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, the pursuit of better health care starts here. Back to Dr. Kevin Most. All right, Lewy body dementia, it is not Alzheimer's, correct?
It is not. Lewy body is a little bit different, and we discussed this when Stan Mikita passed away, but for Lewy body, it's kind of unusual. So initially, you'll have early symptoms where your memory is fine and you have no cognitive problems whatsoever, but you have a sleep disturbance possibly, you'll have visual hallucinations, you might get some Parkinson's-like tremor, and your balance isn't really good. So those are all the early signs, and then as it progresses, then you get to the dementia side where you lose your memory impairment, your cognitive skills. So it's a little different that early on, people think, well, maybe this is early Parkinson's, when in fact it ends up being the Lewy body dementia.
Any idea what causes it?
No. We have the exact same problem as we do with Alzheimer's. We're laying down protein in our brain that does not need to be there, and it's essentially causing inflammation in the brain and making it not work.
And this is people over 50, mostly men, or equally distributed?
Yeah, equally distributed, but mainly over the age of 50. So it's not a pre-senile Parkinson. It's not someone that gets early Parkinson's. This is just you have to look for some of these other signs, because you're not normally with Alzheimer's, you're testing their cognitive skills to see what's going on. When in fact, for Lewy body, we should be taking the highlights of wait. You're having hallucinations, you're having, you know, some sleep disturbances, you're having these movements. We need to then prep the family for this is what's going to occur, because these individuals often live for 8 to 10 years. I know Stan had a long run, after he was diagnosed.
Right.
So the family's got to be prepared for it, and the individual themselves has to be prepared for it.
We know with Alzheimer's there are things you could do to sort of stave off the effects. Once you're diagnosed, or certainly try to prevent it, even if there's family history, because obviously we don't even know the genetic piece of that to a great degree. Does any of that mirror Lewy body?
Some of it will. You know, with Alzheimer's, we're going to try to simplify people's life to make it as common as possible. Don't change things in their life. You know, keep them in the same place. Let them stay comfortable, because they forget things, and we forget their memory loss, you know, that disrupts our daily life. We have challenges in planning and in solving problems. Will eliminate that from them. Confusion with time and place, stay away. Make sure that it's easy for them to do that. And, you know, try to support them as much as you possibly can. It's a terrible disease, and I thought that the combination with the Embril story and Bill Buckner, that we should at least bring it up to everyone's mind again, that we need help with research, and we should not stifle research whenever we can.
Are there any good drugs for that?
No, unfortunately, there aren't. And again, we have no drug that prevents it and no drug that slows its progression at this point.
In either case, when do you go, you know, I mean, look, I'm 58 years old. There's times where I go, uh-oh, it's over. I can't remember somebody's name that I should know, or what I did with the car keys, you know, or whatever. When do you go to the doctor?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, there are some signs of Alzheimer's, but then there's typical age-related changes as well, right? You know, you don't remember someone's name. Well, you'll remember it later. You just don't remember it in the moment. That's an age-related change. You know, challenges in solving problems. You might make a mistake every so often doing your checkbook, but you're not doing it over and over and over. So as long as it's a gradual progression, those are the ones that we say, hey, you know what? That's typical age-related. Getting confused about the day of the week, we all do that. I thought it was Wednesday. No, it's only Tuesday. So, I mean, it is there. We might misplace things from time to time, but we're not doing it all the time. So, you know, you just have to have the loved ones look out for you, and, you know, we do have neuropsych testing that can show it, but we have to also realize that we have typical age-related changes with our cognitive skills.
Does that include you and I sitting at the big Northwestern golf outing last week where you said, I'm too tired to play golf tomorrow? Is that part of it? That's part of the age-related change in you?
Yes, it is.
Enjoy your time in Seattle, and we'll see you back in town. Thank you, Doctor.
You got it. Talk to you guys soon.
Northwestern Medicine Newsroom is where Steve will be next. McDonald's drive-thrus will start helping you make decisions.
Welcome to Good Burger, home of the Good Burger. Can I take your order?
There's six items. So, like, they sell burgers.
Do you want fries with that?
They sell chicken.
Do you want fries with that?
And they sell a fish sandwich.
Do you want fries with that?
They have sausage, eggs, and pancakes. As my old friend John Panette, the late, great John Panette, said, get out of the line!
Get out the way!
It's 7:15. Time allows later, I'll retell the McDonald's drive-thru story of a man who had a car adorned in Jesus, who cursed at me this weekend because I tooted my horn, asking him politely to move forward.
A story different than that one that, you know, just happened. So multiple issues in the McDonald's line.
Multiple issues.
He could have been possessed by a demon, Steve. Could have been a demon.
Oh, I didn't think about that. Could've the old demon possession thing.
Right.
Mark Carman's here, and Mark is in for Dave in it today. And, of course, Mark is soon to be married to the lovely Chelsea. How are things?
Things are great, Steve. We're really cruising along well. Minus a couple of things.
Wedding plans complete?
I wouldn't say that. I'm struggling, Steve, if I'm going to be honest. There's this thing you got to do is you need to get the names and the addresses, and you're supposed to send out a save the date. We've missed the save the date deadline, so I'm just like, you know, random emails to some out-of-towners.
What's the date of the wedding?
November 30th.
And the save the date headline was deadline was missed?
Well, it's not too late to save the date.
I would think, would you?
Do you think you really need a save the date, though? I think we're just going to punt on the save the date.
Yeah, you know what? I think save the dates are a little overrated.
Yeah, I think you're probably right.
Yeah. You know, you get your invitation when you get your invitation. There you go.
All right, this isn't fair without Chelsea being here. And I told you, Chelsea's invited in on the show, yet you continue to avoid that.
She's very busy in the morning, Steve. A lot of things going on over there.
Yeah, Chelsea, get a hold of me, Chelsea. I want to know if that's true. But I have some questions from the New York Times that were sent to me, and this is perfect for you. Things that any couple should ask each other before they get married. This is the New York Times.
Okay.
Did your family throw plates, calmly discuss issues, or just shut down when disagreements arose? Point being, you have to know how the other person fights.
Right. I mean, the Carmen family, we go with supreme passive aggressiveness.
So shut down.
Oh, yeah.
Complete shutdown. Stuff those feelings down.
Stuff them down. Mock anybody who's having a feeling. That's the strategy.
What about Chelsea's family?
I think we got some of that going on over there too, Steve.
Okay, so denial on both sides. Sounds right. Like a match. When we have kids, and if we have kids, who's changing all the diapers?
Oh, are you kidding? She is.
There you go. Wrong answer, Timmy.
You gotta be realistic here, Steve. That's just not my skill set.
You're not gonna do any diapers?
I mean, one diaper every now and then in an emergency situation.
I guarantee you will be changing diapers if that occurs.
With regularity.
Yes, with regularity.
And by the way, just for your own sense of peace of mind, I never did it. I never babysat, never did it. And your kids come along and, you know.
How'd you get out of it?
Let me tell you something. No, I did it all the time. Here's the thing. There's things that will happen when you're a parent that you would never have been able to visualize you being a part of. There's things that end up on you that you would have freaked out about prior to. And you go, that's my kid.
That really happened, so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, things like my daughter eating Captain Crunch and then getting violently sick in the car.
Yeah. And you just reach back there and clean it up.
Yes, you do. And she's never eaten it since.
Was it yellow?
Easy.
Let's not go there.
Will our experience with our exes help or hurt us? You feel like you have both been honest about your exes?
There's been a lot of honesty on the exes.
I think it's an unfortunate conversation that you absolutely should stuff down. That whole conversation about who have you been with, how many people have you been with, all that, I think that's damaging.
We haven't done the numbers thing.
That's good.
Don't ever do that numbers thing. Okay. Yeah, that's not a good move.
Thanks, Mary.
How will we celebrate religious holidays, if at all? Now, this is interesting because you guys come at this from faiths that need to be merged.
Yeah, well, we got some good Judaism going on here, Steve. I don't know. You know, we're not necessarily your serious synagogue goer, but, you know.
But I thought there were levels of commitment to the faith that differed, no?
Yeah, that's true. Good memory, Steve. Mm-hmm. But this is one that I'm embracing, that we can have a break of bread on a Friday night, have a glass of wine. That's solid. And you know,
Chelsea on the same page.
Yes, she's very reformed. She likes a good guitar at a service, which is not, you know, the old school way.
Okay. Next question. Are we sharing finances? Is my debt your debt?
Judging by the way things are going along, I would say the answer to that is clearly yes.
And I'll do one more, and then we'll come back with more of these later as time allows in the show. What's the most you'd be willing to spend on a car, a couch, and a pair of shoes? In other words, are you a conservative spender, or are all bets off?
We have vastly different views on this, Steve. I prefer the economic choices of the world. Mm-hmm. You know, why spend a ton when you don't have to?
You'd like to look for a deal.
Yeah, I'm a money in the bank guy.
Frugal guy.
Right.
Thrifty.
I call it wise, intelligent.
And Chelsea is not on that page.
Chelsea wants what Chelsea wants.
I sense a couple of fights in the car.
Does she call you cheap, though?
She hasn't used the cheap word quite yet. But
that stretches
Does
it.
Chelsea have the hotline? Like the inside number here.
I don't know if there's a hotline, Steve.
Just look on his phone. Grab it.
I got a note in my pocket that she gave me this morning. I was sitting there at 4 o'clock.
A lovey.
Yeah, I haven't even read it yet. Should I read it on the air?
Oh, did she pack you lunch?
That reminds me. I've got a couple of eggs in my bag. Maybe I should put those in the fridge before they spoil.
You're schmoopy. No.
Here, hand me the note. Don't look at it. Hand it to me.
Do you for real?
Hand me the note.
I don't know. I got to look at it. I got to look first.
Yeah, what is it going to say? Thanks for last night.
Who's going to return the kangaroo?
Yeah, do you really? I don't know. If you, this is kind of.
Is it? I love
it's
you.
It's a little. It's a little adorable.
Yeah. Well, let me see it. Let me see it.
There you go, Steve. Go ahead.
X's and O's.
See, that was an excited. Steve was very excited to grab that note from me for the record.
Him.
He's reading it.
Well, this is not over the top.
No, but it's nice. It's very sweet.
Have a great show, superstar.
Aww.
My vision for you, connect, be your best, and go for your satisfaction.
Wow.
Always in a big heart. And then it says, P.S. eggs in fridge. That's from Chelsea.
Now in my bag.
What a wife note that is right at the end.
Did you get
P.S.
your
dummy.
Pudding pack?
Easy, Steve. We got some, what do we got? We've got a lovely, like a little granola kind thing, and I got two hard-boiled eggs. It's a nice
start. Very nice note from Chelsea. Yeah. Now, later in the show, you'll reveal whatever your love names are for each other.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The little nicknames you call each other.
I don't think that, well, okay.
Yeah.
Maybe. It's,
yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Glad you're hoping I forget.
Aren't you glad you
great
filled
to be,
in today?
Great to be here.
The Steve Cochran Show presents the most valuable person on the planet. The MVPP is sponsored by MegaPros. They make it fun to get stuff done.
And now it's time to move on to a little something we call
the most valuable person on the planet.
This is the dawning of the age of Aquarius.
This is a cool story. You know, there's all this stuff that comes up, and you get on a kid of the week sometime, but certainly with the most valuable person on the planet. It's just stuff you go, I never even heard of that. When I heard about this guy last week, I went, I never even heard of that. Romney Cirillo joins us. Good morning, Romney.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
I am doing fine. Romney, tell people what you do.
So our company is Something Fishy, Inc. here in Chicago, and we install, maintain, and design custom aquariums in commercial and residential settings.
All right. So that is in and of itself a cool business, has its own reality show. By the way, what do you think of that show?
You know what? We do know them, and it's done a lot for our industry, so it's been really fascinating to kind of see it showcased on TV as well.
Yeah, what's it called? I don't even know.
It was called Tanked.
Yeah, and it's done now, isn't it?
Correct.
Yeah,
yep.
Okay. All right, so you've got a nice business. Having said that, you're giving back how?
Well, so in our process of being in, you know, commercial spaces, specifically hospitals, our company, through talking with hospital staff, specifically Child Life that's there, that works with us, we would hear the unfortunate stories of some children who were unable to get out of their room to see, you know, the large aquarium or just really have a lot of interaction just due to their medical conditions. So we've developed, that we've beta tested over the past couple of years, a state-of-the-art hospital-grade mobile aquarium. So this 30-gallon aquarium is just like any other piece of equipment in the hospital, but the really exciting thing is it can travel to wherever it's needed most. So patient rooms, emergency room settings, procedure rooms. It's really been a lot of fun to see all the different places already that they're having this unit go.
How long does it stay in one particular area?
That's the great thing about it, is it can stay 24/7, 365. We're now realizing that we're entering into a market space, which is assisted animal therapy, which I'm sure you're familiar and a lot of people are with dog therapy that's out there.
Sure.
Well, this is a new option in that area now. So it can get into places. Sometimes dogs can't go just due to the severity of, again, the child or the patient's situation. So this unit can go in ICU and some isolated areas as well,
so
which
it's cool.
Is a lot of fun.
Cool for kids to look at. It helps them relax, maybe. Takes their mind off things. Gets them interested
100%.
In something. What type of fish?
So we're really excited to be able to offer still a saltwater aquarium so that it offers a ton of color. But we obviously wanted to be environmentally conscious and ethical. So the insert is an artificial insert, so it still looks extremely pretty and has all the nice colors of what coral would in the wild. But we're not taking any coral from the wild, so that covers our basis there. And then a company, one of our manufacturing partners, is an aquaculture facility in Florida called ORA. And they actually, all of our fish in the program are all captive bred fish. So nothing's taken from the wild. from the insert to the fish that go in, and that's what provides a lot of nice color and movement and, you know, that visual distraction that these kids need so bad.
So do you bring the tank apparatus in separately and fill it there, or do you bring it in already with water
and
fish?
Yeah, like who maintains it? Who feeds it every day? Feeds the fish.
Yeah, no, so it's pretty cool. Is one, when we bring it there initially, obviously everything's broken down, and then we'll set it up within an area at the hospital. But the best way to describe this program, especially to this hospital staff that's concerned, is, oh, great, now what do we have to do to take care of this kind of a thing? We've pulled out all the stops on that. Everything is taken care of by us. So the aquarium has an auto feeder on it. It has a timer for the light. It's literally, as we like to joke around, it's a glorified lamp. All they need to do is make sure they plug it in when they go back into wherever they want to have it, and then let's say they want to move it to a new area within the hospital, they just wrap the cord up on the back and they move it. While it's being moved, there's an aerator that provides beautiful bubbles while the aquarium is plugged in, but that's a battery backup aerator, so while it's actually in transportation, it's still getting oxygen pumped into the system so that it can safely move to wherever it needs to go next. So, and then our company is providing service, so we come in on a weekly basis. There's literally nothing to have to be done by the facility. We take care of everything.
Talking to Romney Cirillo about mobile aquatic therapy, this is a mobile aquarium setup that can be very helpful to kids and well, I suppose all patients, but we're talking about kids in this case. All right, so where's the saltwater come from?
We actually just make that within our facility, just like we would any of our other larger systems that we have out in areas. So it's just synthetic sea salt. So we take reverse osmosis water, which basically a special water we make that's almost better than bottled water, and then there's a sea salt mix that we use, and that's where we're getting our salt water from.
So you can make it at the hospital, or you bring it from home, home being your office?
Yeah, we bring it from our facility to the hospital. So
30 gallons, dude, that's a lot of water to move.
Yeah, it is. We'll just use 5 gallon buckets, and to be honest, it'll be shipped in, not shipped in, but we'll carry it in and then have it all ready to go in there. So with us doing systems are in the size of 500 to 1,000, this 30 gallon aquarium isn't much at all for us.
No, I'm sure, but I just want people to understand that because you're a modest guy, but this is a fair amount of labor that goes into doing this. Obviously, the benefits and the payback for you are the joy that you give kids in tough times, right?
No, yeah, it's for us too, really, Steve. This program is just started to get off the ground, so to speak, here in 2019. But the stories that we're hearing already from, again, we work very closely. These amazing people are the child life staff that are in the hospitals that are talking to us and telling us what they need to do. And, I mean, imagine something like an adult getting a spinal tap procedure done, how painful that is. Now, imagine a 5-year-old child that needs to get that done. So we're hearing stories about a child that is getting something extremely difficult, happening to them in that hospital room. This aquarium can come in as a distraction before, after, or even during procedures like this.
Romney, where do you get the fish?
The fish are from ORA, which is Ocean Reef and Aquarium, and they're an aquaculture facility in Florida that is supplying all of our fish. So none of our fish are taken from the wild. Everything is captive bred, which, as you can imagine, too, that helps in the program because these fish, the only thing that they know are aquariums. So they're really comfortable in the tank.
We were going to go down and, because, we're right on the river here, we were going to go down and just fish and get you a couple of backups, but sounds like you're good.
Yeah, we should be okay for a bit still. Yeah, thank you, though. I appreciate it.
Hey, could you bring us a fish tank? Because they took ours out of the lobby, so we'd like a new one. That would be awesome.
There you go.
Thanks.
Our fish got moved over to the shed, which is a good place for fish to go. Listen, we're very impressed, and I think it's a wonderful thing. Obviously, any hospitals listening that would like to know more, where do they go?
Yeah, so our website for our program is just as it's called, mobileaquatictherapy.com. And then, of course, we're on Facebook and Instagram, and that's just Mobile Aquatic Therapy on both of those platforms as well.
And can the public help?
Yeah, so right now, the best thing that people would be able to do is to directly contact these hospitals, such as, Advocate Children's Hospital or Lurie's, La Rabida, Comer's. All these hospitals are always accepting donations. So right now, the best thing is if somebody was interested in supporting a program like ours, they would be able to contact that hospital directly and say, hey, I heard about this great program, and I'd like to be able to do something to support something like that.
Well, it's easy to see why you're the most valuable person on the planet today, Romney.
Thank you very much. We appreciate
it. Pressure. Keep up the great work, man. Thanks for telling us about this.
Thank you so much. Have a nice day.
I love that idea. So,
yeah, they're so easy. Fish are so easy.
I'm gonna bring. Yeah, I'm gonna bring in the fish. Gonna bring in the fish. That's rare when your neighbor goes, "Hey, could you keep those fish down? I'm trying to get some sleep."
Exactly.
But they bring in the aquarium. They bring in the fish. They set it up. They tear it. It's pretty cool. Yeah, you know.
I wouldn't have thought that you could get the therapy just from just peacefully looking. Like you actually need to hold something. But so it's interesting to me.
Yeah. Right. Without a doubt. All right, we'll come back and get your headlines next. 720 WGN.
I think Donald Trump is going to be a very tough opponent because I think he's a pathological liar. I think he will say anything. He will do anything. So this is not going to be an easy campaign, and I hope everybody understands this.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
747. Glad to have Ryan Nobles back with us. And I hope you got my note. Condolences on your grandmother.
Thank you very much. Sorry I missed you guys last week. We had a very nice funeral in her honor. I got to give the eulogy, which was a great honor for me, and we're going to miss her. She was a great lady, lived to her 90s, had a good long life. So sorry I couldn't be with you last week, but obviously for a good reason.
Yeah, understandable entirely, and having done a couple family eulogies, that's brutal. So it's a great honor, but it's not easy to do.
Yeah, it's a cathartic experience for sure, but it was not easy. My kids saw me crying multiple times as I wrote it, and I've actually done a few eulogies, and my tactic is just to read them out loud as many times as possible. So it's one thing to read it to yourself. You've got to read it out loud in front of people you love before you go up and actually do it in front of everyone, because that's the only way you can really prepare for it. Even that doesn't prepare you fully, that's for
no,
sure.
No, there's a real moment there, but I'm glad your kids saw you crying. You know, I mean, honestly, we live in a time where dads ought to be able to cry, and it's a message you send to your sons that it's okay to be emotional.
Yeah, I don't have a problem being emotional. My kids know that already, that's for sure.
So do my kids, and my grandchildren will know as well, because you know, I'll cry at a Hallmark commercial. Maybe I need to man up a little bit. All right, we just heard Bernie Sanders. You've been tasked with chasing Bernie on the road. They had the big Iowa stop yesterday, candidate palooza. The question remains, are the Democrats tacting too far to the left, knowing full well you go too far left or too far right, then when you're the nominee, you go back to the middle? Assuming a major turnout next year, the middle is still going to decide who wins. Can Bernie ever go back to the middle?
No, Bernie's not going to go back to the middle, and he would argue that your theory on the way to win an election is not the way it works in modern politics, and that the way for Democrats to win is to wave a flag of unabashed progressive values. But to answer your first question, are the Democrats tracking too far left? I think these early polls are showing us that at least at this point they're not. You know, Joe Biden still continues to hold on to a pretty sizable lead. This latest Iowa poll does show some issues for him. But these candidates that you see kind of rising to the top are candidates that may be trying to grab that moderate lane a little bit more. Pete Buttigieg continues to do well. He's doing well in this latest CNN Des Moines Register poll. Kamala Harris is now starting to creep up. But you still have Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders kind of locked there in a statistical tie for second place, which shows that even though maybe more than half of the Democratic electorate is looking for someone who's a little bit more middle of the road, you're still going to have to reconcile that progressive wing of the party. You're going to have to satisfy them, because even though they're not more than half of the Democratic Party, they are enormously influential, and those are the people that you're going to need to come out in droves and vote on Election Day, and perhaps that's the group that didn't come out in 2016, which is why Donald Trump is president. So I don't know if that means you nominate someone like Bernie Sanders or Elizabeth Warren, or try and find someone like Joe Biden and push him a little bit further to the left to satisfy that group. I think that's what the Democratic Party is going to try and figure out here for the next 12, 13 months or so.
I think if Donald Trump has done one thing that's a positive for this country, he's fired people up to be interested in politics, even though they may be sad, depressed, feeling pressure like never before. But the turnout we saw for the midterms was very strong. I think you're going to see a tremendous turnout next year. We won't have 100 million people who don't show up to vote. And that means that folks like Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren could be too far to the left, because you need to appeal to the middle. You know, Ryan, you know this. I think I know this. The people that vote for Trump are going to vote for Trump. The people that want far-left values are going to vote far-left. The rest of the people are in the middle, and it's more than those two fringes.
No, there's no doubt that it's more than those two fringes. But I think where the nuance comes in this conversation and, you know, in the 2020 election is, you know, define mainstream politics for me. Where is the middle of the road right now? And I think that's where a lot of Americans are a little bit all over the map. And I think you can find you know, a suburban, highly educated mom who may have voted Republican in the past, but now is dealing with high insurance premiums, maybe has a kid that is sick, is worried about pre-existing conditions, and for perhaps her entire political career was not interested in the idea of Medicare for all or universal health care, and now has said that this has become a big priority for her. So there is, you know, these kind of differences in exactly where the political spectrum is shifting. And I think on some of these issues, you know, at least the argument that Bernie Sanders is making is that, yeah, you know, 4 years ago, certainly 8 years ago, a lot of these things I talked about were radical, but now people are coming around to these ideas. The difference, though, the problem for Bernie is that while he's always been there, now there's a whole crop of Democratic candidates who've moved along with him. So you can still, you can kind of grab onto these one or two kind of far-reaching progressive values that the entire Democratic Party has latched onto, and then kind of push away from the idea of total socialism, which is something Bernie doesn't shy away from. And I think that's kind of the divide that you're finding. That's the candidate that's going to win is going to be the candidate that's able to kind of bridge those two worlds.
We'll come back and talk about Trump. Ryan Nobles from CNN with us. We'll be back with him in a moment. Hardest working man in the news business, my friend Ryan Nobles from CNN. Let me fire some headlines at you from the weekend. The Mexico story about Mexico finally agreeing to help us at the border. The big story is Trump probably lied about how much influence he had and that Mexico may have agreed to a bunch of stuff before. It's good for Mexico. It's good for Trump to say that they came to this incredible deal. It's not news that he lied. So do we need to focus on this or can we move on?
You know, I think the whole the move that the president makes is a, you know, typical Trump situation. He creates a crisis that didn't exist before, you know, but he's going to put these tariffs in place and then he comes to rescue his own crisis. That's kind of typical for the way the president conducts himself. The thing I still think is getting lost in all of this, Steve, is, you know, there is a problem at the border, right? I mean, we are dealing with a big influx of people that are trying to escape bad situations south of us. There isn't enough resources there to manage the flow of people. We don't have good laws in place to deal with legitimate asylum claims and to keep the people that don't belong in here out and allow the people that deserve an opportunity to come in. And it seems as though both sides are really serious about solving that problem because we're so caught up in kind of the big political footballs like a wall and, like, and, you know, things like that. So, you know, we still have a huge DACA community that doesn't, that needs to be addressed. I mean, this is still just an enormous mess. And I think the problem with the way that the president has handled this and the situation with these tariffs and this fake emergency with Mexico, it shows that he hasn't seriously addressed these big problems. All these other big problems that are really, truly affecting the situation, he's continued to ignore. And I think the only thing you can deduce from that is because this crisis is actually good politics for him. He needs this problem to continue through the 2020 election so he can tell those Americans who are legitimately concerned about a porous border that he's here to protect them, when in reality, there isn't a ton of evidence that he's really done anything to solve that problem.
Our time is up, as always, and I have way too many things to talk to you about. I'll call you on the cell phone.
Sorry, you're always welcome to do that, Steve. You know that.
All right, buddy. Thank you very much.
All right, guys, have a good one.
Coming up, Moron Entertainment. Super Joe, give me that question.
All right, so yesterday, White Sox rookie phenom Eloy Jimenez hit his eighth home run of the season.
Almost 500 feet.
A 471-foot moon fruit in Kansas City. Each of Jimenez's... Jimenez's...
Moon fruit?
A what?
Yeah, you heard me.
I like that. I like that.
Is that like a grapefruit?
Yeah, it's a moon fruit. It's moon so fruit. High, it's a moon fruit.
Oh. He's hit eight dingers, and they have all come on the road. With that in mind, which player has hit the most home runs as a visiting player at Guaranteed Rate Field?
Really? Current player... Who's hit the most home runs?
He is active.
That was, active that was player. Who has hit the most home runs at Guaranteed Rate Field? Does that sense the name change?
I believe so, yes.
Okay, but it doesn't have to be. Right? That's not a precursor to the question.
Right.
Is that question perhaps just a little too hard? I don't mean to quibble with the question here, Steve, but who in the world is going to get that? That's a high bar you just set there, Joe.
I would think
Romano.
A guy with your tremendous sports knowledge would be able to know that.
I've
right
got a hint ready.
Got no idea.
Line three, how are we feeling?
Sven, take a shot before we do the news here.
I got no idea. I was going to say Ryan Santo.
He played for the Marlins and the Tigers.
Played for the Marlins and the Tigers.
That's a good hint.
I have absolutely no idea.
All right, hold on. I'll give you a consolation prize for calling in. 312-981-7200 is the number.
Did he
for the Marlins and the Tigers, he's at the end of his career, right? Is that the guy I'm talking about? He's at the end of his career. Does his first name start with an M? His first name starts with an M, and it's not Mike.
He hit a three-run bomb in Game 7 of the 2003 playoffs at Wrigley Field. And it made me...
I don't know how much more we can help you.
Yeah. I was vending beer and lost my mind in the right field corner.
Yep. Here to the Sounds of Matter, top 5 at 5 with the Real Count Show with Anna DeVlantis, weekday afternoons. Dave, you got an answer?
I do. Miguel Cabrera.
Ding, bang! Ding, ding. Bang! Winner, right there. Winner, winner, White Sox dinner. Family of four are going to see the White Sox play the Twins Friday night. Tune in every Friday night, June 28th. Tune in every Monday at 7:50. Super Joe will stump you, or unless you know the answer, then you win. WhiteSox.com, 866 Sox Game.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey, you know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood, or kiss me, kiss me good.
8:13, Dean Richards.
What's up?
Hi, buddy. Welcome back.
Where was I?
I don't know.
I was in New York.
Who knows?
I was in New York.
You seem to spend time in New York, LA, and London a lot.
And I'm going back to London next week.
Rough. I don't know how you do it, man. It's like coal mining over there at Channel 9.
I cannot get enough crumpets.
You know, I was in a band called The Crumpets.
Were you?
Yeah, totally.
I'll bring some back for you.
I have a pair of tickets for an evening of conversation with Julie Andrews at the Chicago Theater on December 10th. Should be a nice evening, don't you think?
I'm very excited about that.
Julie Andrews entertained millions for more than half a century. She'll you know what she'll do, Dean? She'll share stories.
Probably tell some Mary Poppins stories.
And take questions from the audience, too.
Probably tell us, finally, we get the answer to how do you solve a problem like Maria.
There you go. Tickets on sale now at the Chicago Theater box office, as well as Ticketmaster outlets. Joe, let's go with the seventh caller who can sing all of Bim Bimini, Bim Bimini, Shim Sham Shiroo.
And Supercalifragilistic.
What is that song?
She didn't sing Chim Chim Cheree.
No, Dick Van Dyke sang that.
What was she? It's what the
Supercalifragilistic.
What's the other song? It's not called Shim Sham Shiroo. No, what's the matter with me?
That's a UN world leader. Shim Shim Shiroo.
How about Spoonful of Sugar? Is that a song?
Yeah, that's one of her songs.
Well, Spoonful of Sugar. That's when the Queen does it. All right. Well, much to discuss here, and I'd like you to start with giving us a list of what's coming up right after I tell you that we've got a bunch of Haribo candy in the house.
Excuse me?
Haribo candy?
Hair?
No, not H-A-I-R.
Oh.
Haribo, the soft, chewy,
gummy bearish,
stuff.
Oh, I brought some home for my son, and he went crazy.
Oh, yeah? Good.
Yeah, because they're the best.
Christopher Avery's vice president of customer marketing at Haribo and Rosemont. And we saw him at spring training, and he sent a crate of Haribo candy over here on Friday. And you know what's funny? Is like the office people that don't even know this show's on the air, suddenly, they're circling.
Are these free?
Yeah.
Dave
anyway, Christopher, thanks, and everybody at Haribo, thanks.
Did you see Dave Bennett? He was actually on the phone with his wife trying to figure out which kind she liked the best.
Well, you know, the package was actually sent to Dave because Christopher likes Dave better than me.
That's what happened.
Yeah, sure. All right, so now that we got that out of the way, we're going to talk about the Tony Awards. We're going to talk about a great moment last night, a couple of great moments last night from the Tonys. Celebrity wedding over the weekend. Celine Dion ending her Vegas residency with a gazillion dollars.
Is that literal? A gazillion dollars?
Yeah, we counted it. No. Yep, it was a gazillion. And I got to tell you, I don't know about you, but that James Corden is a talented guy.
He is extremely talented. It was a good show, the Tony Awards. It's my favorite award show of the year. I mean, others, you know, may have more mainstream relevance, I guess you might say.
But they're really good at making fun of themselves, where the Oscars aren't.
Completely make fun of themselves. It's just so entertaining. You feel, you know, you get sort of this best of Broadway sampler of you know, the best shows that are out there, of all these musicals, and many of them started here in Chicago. The Cher show, it didn't win, it won an award for one of its actresses, Stephanie J. Block, but the Cher show that started here in Chicago was featured last night, and it looks like they made some changes in the show. And also Tootsie the Musical, that won an award for its lead actor, Santino Fontana.
Don't you curse at me. I heard you. My favorite moment, though, from the show is James Corden sitting on the throne in the men's room. And then on either side are Josh Groban and Sarah Bareilles. And they sing a show-stopping tune about here we are stuck in the bathroom.
In the toilet.
In the toilet. Worried about being ex-hosts. Talking about how they're desperately concerned that a former host may come back, and that former host was Doogie Howser, who then pops out of another stall.
And out of another stall.
Very funny.
It was. That's actually a spoof of a show that's on Broadway right now, but they so cleverly rewrote that and you know, executed it last night.
I got to tell you, I'm watching hockey. I'm popping back to the Tony Awards. I don't know if I'm going to punch myself in the face or sing a show tune. It was a crazy evening.
Ew, multicultural.
Right?
Wow, I'm impressed.
So,
you want to have a wow moment? They had Sarah Bareilles and Josh Groban hosted last year.
Yep.
And I think it was James Corden who was the year before that. Neil Patrick Harris did it several years. You know who was another recent Tony Awards show host? Kevin Spacey.
Oh, really? That's right.
Yeah.
You know, I have to say, I didn't notice him last night.
He was not. I don't think he was there.
Would have been interesting if they'd done like a courtroom spoof. You seen a video of where his hearing or trial, I guess a trial has been going on? It looks like it's somebody's closet. It's like the smallest courtroom ever. It's like when they got the jurors involved, they all had to be under 5'4" so they could fit.
Did they have one of those Bugs Bunny signs at the door that you have to be under a certain height in order to come in?
Actually, it was all done in the wood stove. Remember when Bugs Bunny had the giant party in the wood stove? Who's old? We'll come back with all the stories I just mentioned a moment ago with my fellow moron, Dean Richards.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richards.
I want to thank the fine people at Ravinia. Sponsors of Moron Entertainment. When will you be on stage there, Dean?
I'll be there July 12th and 21st. The 12th, I'll be hosting when they show West Side Story on the screens around the park, and the Chicago Symphony Orchestra will do the score live. I do a pre-show discussion. We talk about the movie, and my favorite thing is that they have this giant Twitter board. It's like a gigantic video board, and people can tweet comments and questions into me, and they show up on the board.
And there's no pre-screening.
Well, I think there might be a little pre-screening. Just
that's
in
my
case.
Point. It's all pre-screened.
Just now that you put it that way, I think we're going to insist on some pre-screening.
I will be at Ravinia on Wednesday night. Lionel Richie will be there. I'll be dancing on the ceiling. They actually have a ceiling there, and I'll be dancing on it.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
That'll be fun.
It's going to be a good time.
You know, Tony Bennett's coming.
Tony Bennett will be there on June 21st. They've asked me to come out to make Tony look younger. They just want me to stand next to him.
It's the same night the Rolling Stones are in town. Wouldn't it be cool if Tony Bennett, after he got done, went down to Soldier Field?
I can't get no.
Yeah.
Satisfaction. How is Tony Bennett? Is he good these days?
He's
decent
doing
to deal
very
with?
Well, 92 years old and as talented and as wonderful as ever. Very, very, very nice man.
Sugarland, one of my favorite voices in all of music, is the lead singer of Sugarland. Only wish I could remember her name. But that's Sunday, June 30th.
Trixie. Trixie is her name.
Trixie Sugar.
Land. That's her married name. Land
she's
is her married
tremendous.
Name.
All right, Tony Award winners. Any surprises?
Nah, I don't think so. It wasn't really one of those years where, you know, there was like a Hamilton or The Producers or some show that you knew was going to completely dominate last night. But, you know, everybody got their due. The show that's called Hadestown, that it's a sort of Greek mythology set to New Orleans jazz, won 8 awards last night, including Best Musical. The Northern Ireland drama Ferryman won Best Play last night, so that was a big deal. Boy, the revival of Boys in the Band won Best Revival last night. And for performance wins, the legendary Elaine May, who is in a drama called The Waverly Gallery. She plays a grandmother with Alzheimer's disease. She won Best Actress in a Play. And Elaine May has deep roots here in Chicago, started off at the University of Chicago, became part of what was first known as Compass Players, and turned into a little group called Second City after that. So
she looked great, too. They did a couple crowd shots of her. I think she's 87.
She looks fantastic. Yeah. She looks great. And it was nice to see her win. Bryan Cranston won Best Actor in a Play for Network. He plays Howard Beale. And we have some audio of him. You know, they call the Tony Awards the gayest night of on television, and it is. It very definitely is.
Right.
Which made what Bryan Cranston said when he got on stage to accept his award extra funny.
And Bryan Cranston, do we have that sound play for me?
Wow! Finally, a straight old white man gets a break.
Listen to what else he has to say.
I would like to dedicate this to all the real journalists around the world, both in the print media and also broadcast media, who actually are in the line of fire with their pursuit of the truth. The media is not the enemy of the people. Demagoguery is the enemy of the people. Thank you very much.
One of the few political moments of the night, but very poignant in that, you know, he was talking about how his character, Howard Beale, from the stage play adapted from the legendary movie, so accurately portrays what's going on in America right now, where a reality show host, you know, becomes a prophet for the nation and people, you know, follow. So he made those comments last night.
All right, so first win for an actor in a wheelchair. I think some people thought this was a part being played, but this is a woman who's confined to a wheelchair.
Yeah, her name is Ally Stroker. She was on Glee. She was on the TV show Lethal Weapon, a variety of television shows. But she's been in a wheelchair since she was 2 years old, was in a car accident, and has been paralyzed since then. And she is in the revival of Oklahoma. She sang a big song last night, but got the award for Best Featured Actress in a Musical.
This award is for every kid who is watching tonight who has a disability, who has a limitation or a challenge, who has been waiting to see themselves represented in this arena. You are Mom and Dad. Thank you for teaching me to use my gifts to help people. I love you. We did it.
Very sweet. Beautiful moment. On stage, she gave this very empowering speech. Backstage, she said something that's kind of interesting, how theaters have become so much more accessible to people who are living in wheelchairs. But backstage, for the actors, it's a completely different case. So, you know, hopefully bringing some awareness to theater owners, people who put on these shows, that even backstage, there needs to be accessibility for people who have, you know, challenges.
Celebrity wedding this weekend.
It was the wedding of Chris Pratt and Arnold Schwarzenegger's daughter, Catherine Schwarzenegger. They've only been going out for like a year. They announced in January that they were engaged. And the wedding secretly, I mean, they really pulled off a big secret wedding. They were able to tie the knot. How cool is it when you're at a wedding and the Terminator gives the bride away?
Yeah, it's not bad. Now, I understand that the Terminator's love child wasn't invited.
No, the Terminator's love child was not at the wedding. Although, interestingly, you know, Chris Pratt previously was married to actress Anna Faris.
Mm-hmm.
And she was at the wedding. We don't get the ex-wife coming to the wedding very
interesting.
Often. Yeah.
All right. And Celine Dion's done in Vegas?
Along. Yeah. She's been doing this Vegas residency for, it's got to be 15 years, I'll bet, 10, 15 years. They say that it was more than 1,100 shows. And she did her last show Saturday night. She's got a new album and a new concert tour coming out this fall.
The Vegas money is crazy.
Yeah.
All of those shows, how much did she make? I'd like to know the exact dollar figure.
That figure I do not have.
Was it a bazillion dollars?
It was a bazillion dollars. Yeah. It was.
Well, I'm glad you're back, buddy.
And this is probably a good time for us to announce the Moron Entertainment Vegas Review that we'll be putting on, that we're part of. We have a lot of leggy showgirls who will be part of it all. But
and our lead, I probably shouldn't even announce this, but the show closer is a guy that can play any song in his armpit.
Wait till you hear Jimmy Crack Horn.
Jimmy Crack, and I don't care. I'll see you later.
Bye.
Headlines next, 720 WGN.
Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
I thought we were going to be just friends.
What? Friends listen to Endless Love in the Dark?
Mark Carmen filling in for Dave Ennett this morning.
That's beautiful, Steve.
He likes to have a good cry whenever he hears that song.
I do.
He's the Fiancé, a brand new Broadway play that we haven't written yet. Mark Carmen is the Fiancé. And you and your lovely bride-to-be Chelsea are putting plans together for a November wedding. At this point, we don't know if it'll be a rabbi and me or just me doing the service. We're still in discussions.
I've been working on it, Steve, to try to get you in there. It's to be honest, it's lost momentum, but that doesn't mean that I can't.
I thought your dad was a fan.
A huge fan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
can he leverage that a little bit?
Well, we're meeting with the rabbi, I think, this week, Steve, so maybe I just need to sabotage that.
Yeah. Yeah. Tell the rabbi I'm a big fan.
Okay.
I am of the faith. I don't know this particular
rabbi. Right, right. I mean, we don't need a, big-time religious situation here.
We can I could bring DeCoss. We could come in. We could do a strong 20 each.
That's
there at the reception. I mean, we just want to help.
I'd love John to be there.
New York Times story, 13 questions to ask each other before you get married. We went through half of these earlier. And you're answering for you, not Chelsea.
Okay.
Can you deal with me doing things without you?
Absolutely.
You like having time to yourself.
I strongly encourage it.
Any jealousy issues?
It would take, if you're having like a really, really good time doing something that I enjoy, then I would get jealous, if we're being honest.
Like if she went to and played tennis with an attractive dude?
Right, right. If she had like front row seats to the U.S. Open and I was not invited because, one of her friends got
the attractive
dude. Hookup. Yeah, yeah. That would hurt. Yep.
Here's why I bring it up, not just because it's a question there, but I don't think most men understand this. Because it takes a long time to understand this.
Yeah.
If you even have a smidgen of jealousy, when she goes out for the evening, you kiss her, you hug her, whatever, and you look her in the eyes and you say, I want you to have the best time tonight. Don't worry about me. I'll be asleep when you get back, but have a great time. She'll walk out of the house with such love/guilt that she wouldn't begin to cheat on you or fool around or do something stupid. Not that Chelsea would. I'm saying in general.
No, of course not, Steve. She has eyes for me. It's clear. I mean, except when we're walking down the street or driving in the car.
Well, she's younger and you're old.
She does a lot of yoga, Steve, and there's,
she's attractive.
It's good. There's a,
you're over your skis.
Very flexible men in those classes.
Yeah, sure, you guys yoga together?
Once in a blue moon, Mary.
You should do the yoga together. Yeah. The sweat yoga, probably.
Really?
No, yeah. I've never.
I can show
sweat.
You a position.
The
I do.
Hot yoga.
It's downward older dog.
Yeah.
Yes.
The DOG.
Yeah, downward older dog with hip dysplasia. That's a move I do in yoga. Do you like each other's parents?
Absolutely.
Both sides get along well.
We do.
Okay. Good.
Well, you better say that.
How important is sex to you?
I like sex, Steve. Sex is good.
And Chelsea as well?
Chelsea likes sex, yes.
Well, I bet she's really happy we're talking about this on the air.
Well, hey, listen, I'm sure her mother is not listening, and if she is, she supports these thoughts. Come on.
How do you feel about the modern definitions of cheating? In other words, is flirting okay? Is a social media relationship with someone at work that you don't tell her about or she doesn't tell you about okay?
Now it's getting uncomfortable.
Is having a best friend that's of the opposite sex okay. Not a best friend, but she should be your best friend. But a very good friend. Are any of those okay?
And you see, I think the key with this one, Steve, is transparency. You know, if you have some secret stuff going on, then that's not going to be okay. But if it's all out there, then I think that's a fine thing that we've worked on that one, Steve. It's good.
What do you admire about her?
Oh, so many things, Steve. It's endless. What time is the show over?
Yeah, you're right. We only have till 10.
Right.
And what are your pet peeves about her? And she has the opportunity to respond to all of these as well.
Yeah.
If you would tell her where the studios are and let her come in at some point.
Again, what time?
Encourage her to come
in.
Yeah.
Again, what time is the show over?
Yeah, 10.
Right.
Yeah, I wouldn't go through that list if I were you.
It's a tough list right there.
What's a pet peeve she knows you have about her?
Oh, let's see.
Not something that's going to cause a problem.
We have a discussion every now and then, Steve. She claims that women are of circular thought. Have you ever heard of this? She's thinking about one thing, and then it's on to the next thing, and then it's on to the next thing. We haven't even, finished.
I think that's good realization.
Multitasking, sort of.
But we haven't finished thought one, Mary.
I'm already
on to the next thought.
What she needs from you at that point is to shut up and listen.
Yeah, I'm not very good at that.
No, I'm not either. I'm better than I used to be, but never again.
In other words, guys are always one step behind.
Well, but also we want to fix it. We want to solve it, fix it, and move on.
I like to live in the present moment, Mary. If we're talking about one thing, let's talk about that. Let's get to the crux of the issue. I'm not really winning. I feel like I'm losing right now, Steve.
Yeah, but you got to work ahead, too. Yeah.
Okay, fine. Work ahead, work behind.
Mary, doesn't your team get together sometime and go, well, it's the only way it works for us? You know, in other words, if I could come up with another system that didn't involve him, I wouldn't have him around.
You know what I've been doing great, Steve?
Yes.
Well, we do need men for a reason.
Open jars, get the high stuff off the shelves.
Yeah, fix stuff.
I give myself an A for Brita water maintenance. Whenever the water gets low in the Brita,
sure.
I'm excellent at making sure that we're going to be hydrated.
Changing the water in the dehumidifier.
Yeah, no,
that's always important in our house.
I don't think we have a dehumidifier.
You don't think? Well, then I guess you don't have one.
If we have one, I haven't seen it. Good point, Mary.
Yeah, so obviously you're handy to have around. And where do you see us 10 years from now? And I don't mean you and me, I mean you and Chelsea. Still the same passion, still the same fire? Or you in the recliner, falling asleep watching sports, and her going, he never takes me anywhere or wants to go anywhere?
I mean, the first thought that came into my mind was lower whacker.
Sweating is expensive.
Yeah. But I see us deeply in love, Steve, connecting in ways that we never thought possible, visioning for our future, and solving the world's problems.
The great news is you don't sound sarcastic at all.
Yeah.
You sound like you truly believe
it. I see us on the tennis court. I've had a toe fused. I've had back surgery and maybe a hip replaced.
Right. And then she's actually left you for the other younger tennis coach.
Right. I see myself on the court by myself.
Crying in the corner. Well, these are all questions that are important, and I think it's important that you answer these honestly on the air.
Now we
move towards your wedding.
Yeah.
Has she texted you?
Yeah, she's texting right now. It's not. Mm-hmm. They're not warm texts.
Yeah, a little fight
she's
after the show.
Fermez les bouches.
Shut
up.
There could be a slight conversation after the show. It's how it always tends to go, Steve. Right. I appreciate these opportunities to share deeply.
Yeah. Well, listen, and I'd love to have Chelsea on to talk about you.
Well, she's very... I mean, look, she's welcome to call in 312-981-7200 if she's texting.
Do we talk to her right now?
Yeah, I know. If she really wants to address these issues, I don't think she'll call, Steve. But
well, we'll see.
The opportunity is there.
Team Hochberg giving you another chance to win a 5-day trip for two to Prague this October. You know that just the other day, we handed out our first trip to Prague to a woman named Gail Kanata. I was very excited, understandably. This is my European vacation, Carms, and you can be on it as well. The package includes sightseeing, round-trip air from Chicago, a VIP ticket package to the Blackhawks season opener in the Czech Republic on October 4th against the Flyers. For your chance to win, you go to WGNradio.com/trip and enter today. This is Hochberg ponying up the effort for this. WGNradio.com/trip. You only have until 11:59 next Wednesday, the 19th, to enter. David Hochberg will be back a week from this Friday on the 21st to announce the winner with us. This is all online. You got to enter before next Wednesday. WGNRadio.com/trip. To enter for official rules and all of that, go to WGNRadio.com/trip and join me on my European vacation with you and your Chicago Blackhawks.
To all beef patty, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions, and patty, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, beef patty, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions.
Super Joe, is this your continued tribute to my run-in yesterday in the drive-thru lane?
It is indeed.
I had a guy in a very heavily religious adorned car with a lot of biblical references painted on it. Jesus and all of those things. After I gave him the toot toot to move along because he was holding up the line and I just wanted my Diet Coke, leaned out of the window and cursed at me heavily. And I said, God bless you. And I meant it, frankly.
What kind of words did he say?
He said all of them. He said all of them. George Carlin called from up above and said, that dude's got an anger issue.
How long would you say he was sitting there before you went with the toot?
Oh, I give him 30 seconds.
That's it? 30?
30's a long time when you're holding up the line.
Was it an SUV or a minivan?
No, old car.
Oh, okay. Because somebody said somebody with a same adorned car cut them off on Route 59 by the mall.
It would be interesting if it was the same one,
yeah,
wouldn't it?
Yeah, somebody okay. texted.
All right. So I have You Must Pick One. This is a regular feature we do on the show where you must pick one. I'm going to give you three headlines, and then you tell me which story you'd like to hear more about. Here are the three headlines. Florida motorcyclist killed by a lightning strike to the head.
Oof.
That's not good.
Woman pays her way through college by selling videos of her sneezing.
Wow.
Mm.
Or you'll be able to see Jupiter's moons with a simple pair of binoculars this week. What do you want to hear more about?
I'm a space cadet, so I love that last one.
Okay. Mary?
The weird woman with a sneezing attack.
Sneezing? Mark Carmen?
I actually was going to go with a lightning strike.
Lightning strike, that's 1-1 and 1.
You know Grzan is just going for the moon thing.
I need a tiebreaker. I'm going to go with sneezing.
Yes.
Here's the story. Look, we all have our certain proclivities. We all have things that maybe we're more interested in than others. And college is expensive. Sometimes working at a local restaurant isn't going to get it done. Abby Haywood is a fine art foundation student at Leeds Art University. She makes a handsome wage by sneezing. Abby knows that something we don't know is something she's making hundreds, if not thousands of dollars by having men pay for the privilege of watching her sneeze online. This is one I've never heard of.
Is she clothed?
Yes, she is. Yes. And only in a few of these would I say provocatively. The others just looks like a day. Abby uses the aptly named moniker, well, I don't want to say what her name is, for her online personality. Abby started selling sneezing videos just this January. By March, she had made about $750, but then things really took off. And now she is making hundreds and hundreds, again, if not thousands of dollars, by sneezing online. So, you know, spring being allergy season, that's like Christmas. Average videos cost about $30, but the sneezer can make over $100 for a custom video. Like, hello, Mark. Achoo! That's for you. That's going to cost you a hundo. Abby's a sneezing pro. She has a tool that she puts up her nose to stimulate sneezing. And soon enough, she's swimming in cash. She sneezed as much as 11 times in 5 minutes. In another one, she sneezed 37 times in 3 hours. And she continues to make money from this. Ladies and gentlemen, Abby, the sneeze queen.
Is there a picture of the tool that she uses? What does that look like?
You don't want to know what she calls it.
Yeah, I don't know what that is. No. Yeah. Like in my case, it would be a cat. I just hold a cat up and I'd sneeze. I don't see anybody paying me to sneeze. That's weird.
Is she giving you a personal message about...
She will for 100. For 30, she's just going to sneeze online for you.
Just sneeze.
Mm-hmm.
What? Do they range from dry to wet sneezes? Or?
I don't know.
Are they those silent but deadly sneezes? Those ones where you hold it up,
you
go
of something else.
You know?
Yeah. No, I think you could request, you know, a specific type of sneeze. But again, that's going to cost you more.
Yeah, the sneeze where your head blows up because you hold it in.
I just don't know what you're getting out of that, but somebody's enjoying it quite a bit.
Well, she's a pretty girl.
I do this thing, Steve, where I scratch my nose with the whole palm of my hand, and one of my friends really likes when I do that, so he'll asked me to do it on cue.
And pay you for it?
He won't pay me, though.
Well,
but he really enjoys it.
You got an expensive wedding coming up. You might want to try to charge people for it.
Become the rub nose itchy guy for $10.
I mean, right now, listening, right now, there's people listening now who are into stuff that we couldn't possibly imagine. And I say, as long as you're with consenting adults, good for you. Go for it. Do whatever you want.
I'm jealous, to be honest.
Sneezing?
Way to come up with something.
This device has to be something that maybe like pulls a hair inside of your nose, or I'm just trying to
kind of tickles her nose.
Yeah. Right, maybe
triggers her to sneeze.
Sort of powder or something.
Maybe it's a cat. Check out the latest edition of the Steve Cochran Everything podcast. We're going to do a Father's Day edition this week, by the way, for dads who love golf. We'll tell you about that in a couple of days. Meanwhile, you can get all of the podcasts at WGNradio.com/Cochran. Including Robert J. O'Neill, the man who took out Bin Laden. Coming up, Stories of Matter with Steve Grzanich next in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
Love theme from Patty Vasquez. She'll join me in just a second. Mark Carmen in for Dave Ennett. You know, every time I do, you must pick one. The other two stories sort of stand out. And you go, well, you got to tell me enough stories now. How about this? A motorcyclist on Florida's I-95 was killed Sunday when a lightning bolt hit him in the helmet. You know, I mean, you think about it. You're outdoors on a motorcycle. You're caught in one of those fast-moving Florida storms. I don't know where you hide. You know?
I've never been on a motor...
off the road.
I've never been on a motorcycle in it, Steve, but... being in a car and your only hope is I'm going to go hide under that canopy at the Shell station. Not a good feeling.
Well, you know, in the heavy rain, you often see motorcyclists, and I've seen them in lightning storms as well, under a viaduct, you know, under a road crossing. That's probably as safe as ever, but I've never heard of that. Meanwhile, tonight, or is it tomorrow night, Steve, that I can see Jupiter with my binoculars?
Yeah, I think it's tomorrow night. Actually, any night this week, really. I mean, but starting in real good, clear focus tomorrow night.
What's the weather look like? Are we going to be able to do it?
Let's see.
I thought maybe you knew because you were a space consultant.
No, I think it's going to be nice. It's going to be clear, completely clear tonight. And I would imagine the same is going to be true tomorrow because it's going to be mostly sunny all day long.
So what type of binoculars? Just a regular pair of binoculars?
Just a regular pair of binoculars, yeah.
If I have a nice camera on my phone, could I just use that?
No, probably not. You'd probably need a decent pair of binoculars, set.
I don't even know where to look.
That's a good question. It'll be one of the brightest things in the sky, right? And but you can look on, there's a little map. There's a couple places, if you Google it, you'll see the map of what part of the sky to look at.
Well, why don't you do this? Will you give us a full report on seeing Jupiter tomorrow on the show?
I will, yes.
Yeah, okay.
We'll do that.
Are you having people over, Steve?
The problem is with in the city, if you live in the city like I do, you're not going to be able to see it because of the bright lights.
You've got to get away from city lights. Yeah,
so I may have to take the next morning off.
Well, whatever it takes. I mean, how often are you going to see Jupiter?
That's true.
Didn't you stay in a tent with Dave Schwann and watch the eclipse?
Yeah.
We didn't. We were not in a tent, but yes, we did go see the eclipse together. Dave Schwab.
Really?
We were in separate locations, but we were in the same city.
Jaunt.
It was a big deal.
I'm just trying to bring it all back to Grzanich in the field, just checking out the world.
With a pair of binoculars and a...
You guys were with Skilling on that adventure, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We were all down there.
Mm-hmm. You didn't go on that trip, Steve?
No, I did not. I was in the middle of a golf outing. You know, golf, and you can't play golf every day. You can see an eclipse anytime. Wait, did I get that backwards?
2024, I think, backwards. Is the next one, right? Or is it 2022?
All right, so full report tomorrow on how you can see Jupiter.
Yep, we'll do it.
Thank you. Patty Vasquez joins us now, and always nice to hear from Patty Vasquez. Do you mind if we do a blatant plug?
I would actually appreciate that greatly.
All right, blatant plug. When are you doing stand-up?
I'm doing Zany's tonight and tomorrow, the one on Wells in Old Town.
And what's the deal on a Monday, Tuesday?
What's the deal? I believe it. You know, that's a very good question, but I'm sure that I can get some discounts if people want to email me.
Oh, okay, good. What email do you recommend?
I recommend pattyhappens@gmail.com.
Patty Happens, P-A-T-T-I, happens at
gmail.com. Yeah.
Is this a special show on a Monday, Tuesday night, or is this just you and a few friends doing stand-up, or what's going on?
Just a few friends doing stand-up, you know, because the White Sox are playing. I started looking at the calendar, and I'm like, I got to get back to Zany's. It's my favorite club in the country.
Sure, and it's, frankly, the best. All right. So,
as you know, it's always fun to do some stand-up before you go and talk for another 3 hours.
Of course. Yeah, because you're all fired up. You're not going to sleep. Who are you kidding?
No.
And is there anything on the show you'd like to plug?
Well, here's the thing: is I'm trying to spread a little bit of awareness. I pulled up in front of my house last week, and a woman jumped into my back seat and just sat there. Not sure if you've had this experience yet.
Oh, where she thought you were an Uber?
She thought I was her Uber, and she goes, "Let's go." And I honestly, before anything else, I wanted to make sure she wasn't there to kill me. Mm-hmm. She goes, "What? This is a gold Honda." And I said, "No, it's a silver Prius," which means I absolutely need to get a car wash.
So when you told her you weren't an Uber, was she, you know, decent about it?
No, she was absolutely convinced that I was wrong, which is a very surreal feeling. When you absolutely know you are
not. How could you be wrong about who you are and that you're not an Uber?
I know. It was a lot of confusion. Yep.
How'd you get her out of your car?
She, you know, just kind of slunk out. I believe it might have been a, how do you put it, a walk of shame moment for her. And I think that she didn't want to have. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I think she was. Yep. God bless her. Have it, you know.
Have all the fun you want. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, but make sure you check the plates, everybody.
All right, so as a woman, Mary Vandeveld, we've talked about this because we saw tragic consequences of this. But as a woman,
exactly.
In particular, you come out of a club or whatever, you know, preferably you're with somebody else. But, you know, from the Uber standpoint, you confirm the car, the plate, and the driver?
Absolutely.
All right, so how do you do that? You roll down your window there, driver guy?
Well, usually what you're supposed to do is if you have to open the door or ask them to roll the window down, but ask them, who are you here for?
Oh,
make them say your name first after you check the plates, check the color of the car, the make, everything.
So if you roll the window and who are you here for and a guy goes, you, that's a bad sign.
That's a bad sign.
Yeah, okay. Girl in a blue dress. Oh, yeah. That's me.
All right. So that's if they don't know your name, they obviously are not your driver because they would have it right in front of them.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, plus you would think they want to be safe, too. They don't know from me.
Yeah, but we don't normally hear about the violence on driver as much as we do the opposite.
May have been a couple.
All right, so we've already given you a plug on what you can do tonight and tomorrow night. We've already told you how to save your own behind with an Uber. Mm-hmm. We've already told you that people might jump into your car. Well, what do you recommend for that? If people just get in your car, it sounds like you handled it fine.
Yes, you just calmly tell them that they've made a mistake. You know, there's no shame in that game. It's all right. We'll start all over again. Just please exit my car.
Someday we'll laugh about this, but I'm not your Uber.
My heart stopped, believe me. It's a strange thing. We're very comfortable getting into strangers' cars. When we were kids, they told us not to even take candy from strangers. Here we are. It's a very strange time.
No, it does seem very odd. Carms, are you an Uber guy?
I use Uber. Patty, do you have weird stickers on your car? I feel like you might.
No, none. Well, I have no stickers.
Why would she have weird stickers on her car?
I've gotten a ride with Patty before. I feel like she's dropped me off somewhere, and I think there might have been a sticker on the car. Maybe I'm just misremembering. No,
I don't think so. I have a silver Prius with some blue duct tape on it because apparently my husband thought there wasn't silver duct tape in the world.
I don't know why you're profiling.
Profile.
Because Patty's your friend, and you're going, well, Patty be the type with weird stickers on her car. What is that?
Patty has her own style.
It seems kind of specific. Do you want to tell me what you think the sticker was?
I don't know. Maybe it was Baby on Board. Might have been something else. I don't remember.
Yeah, Baby on Board. Those are very hip now. Yeah, get those.
I wear cool hats.
Yeah.
And by the way, I've ridden with Carm. You may want to put some stickers on your car that warn other drivers. What's going to happen?
Oh,
is he a bad driver?
Yeah, if I'm driving badly, call this number.
No.
Is he a bad driver? I've never ridden with him.
He's a good driver. It's you know, you just have to know the plan is to you'll eventually get there safely.
Wow.
So he drives like a little old man? Is that
he's artful.
One sticker comment and then just coming over the top.
I don't see how that was any different than what you said, to be honest with you.
I mean, okay.
All right. In the continued CLTV hour, we invite you to go see Patty tonight, tomorrow night, and listen to her every night. What time are you on?
from 10 p.m. till 1 a.m. unless there's a Blackhawks game, a White Sox game, or a Wildcats game.
Okay.
In which case, I'm on after.
All right. And tonight, you're on after Zanies.
And the White Sox, yep.
And the White Sox.
It'll be fun. Go to Zanies.com.
All right. Thank you, Patty.
Yay, thank you.
I'm sorry
about
Carl. Yeah, sorry about Carl.
Love you, Patty.
Somebody see you with weird stickers on your car.
I don't think I said weird.
What do you think's on my car?
I've seen when we had the
white lightning.
White lightning now. Mm-hmm. I saw what was it before? Blue lightning.
Mine
black
blue thunder.
Blue magic. Blue thunder.
Blue thunder.
Blue thunder. White lightning. You're a very professional, mm-hmm. you know, above board guy, Patty. You know, she's has cool things on her car.
It's the worst cover I've ever heard.
It's terrible.
That's terrible.
Is the show over yet?
No, not even close. 9:20, the great Jim Gaffigan coming up live in studio. We need a caller for Lou. Lou's first caller, 312. Lou's not on today?
Okay.
Is that why it says Lou's off on my rundown chain?
We could give just best guesses at questions.
Yeah, we could give our tips.
That'd be funny. Mm-hmm. Terrible home advice. Yeah. Jacob, you'd like some bad home advice?
Every year, I have weed all over my yard.
I would say dig up your entire yard and then shovel it over into your neighbor's yard and just live with the dirt. It's going to be a real conversation piece. Nobody else in the neighborhood's going to be doing this. An entire dirt backyard. Dave, your thoughts?
Are they broadleaf weeds, Jacob?
Yeah, the ones with the really spiky thorns on them.
Mm, fun.
Gotta pull them. Just pull them.
I do, but they keep coming back. Last year, I sprayed them with Dawn dish soap and vinegar and Epsom salt, and they didn't come back for like 6 months.
That's crazy. Now you're talking just crazy. You're talking crazy. My idea of digging the lawn up makes total sense. Your idea of carefully pulling them is just crazy. The Steve Cochran Show continues. Hi to everybody on CLTV. Carms, wave to the folks at CLTV.
CLTV, what's going on?
Hello.
Good to see you.
Graduation party season. Anybody going to those? Mary Vanderbilt, you and I are kind of timed out on that, aren't we?
Graduation parties?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did not go to one this year, which was weird. And I mean, I sent a couple cards out, but no, I didn't go to a graduation party. Yeah, we're going to funerals for our friend's parents.
Yeah, that is bad.
That seems like that's all I've been doing.
It's funny, I was just texting about my last surviving uncle on my father's side. Great guy, but not doing well in his late 80s. But he's enough of a cranky old cuss. He may be around forever. And we certainly hope so. But here's the story. Graduation season, all sorts of parties. So a guy named Taylor Broderson and Jimmy Liu, high school seniors, are having their pals having a co-graduation party. So the parents get together. There's lots of kids coming over. Lots of high school boys are going to eat a lot. They got 600 chicken fingers coming from Cane's. You wear this Cane's chicken situation?
No, but sounds delicious.
I think it's called Raising Cane, possibly. But anyway, Cane's is a chicken finger joint. That's all they do. They do chicken fingers.
Okay.
And Taylor's parents ordered 600 chicken nuggets.
Wow.
From the Raising Cane's restaurant in Maple Grove, Minnesota. So they do chicken fingers, chicken nuggets, apparently. The Brodersons went to pick it up. Before the party, they were informed somebody else took their order.
Ooh.
Oh, man.
And it was prepaid.
Nightmare.
Prepaid.
Ooh.
So somebody came in and one of the knucklehead kids said, oh, yeah, here you go. And gave them the order. Now, what are you going to do now? You can't feed anybody at the party. The Taylor's dad, Shane, was expecting to serve the chicken fingers, the chicken nuggets, the cane sauce, the crinkle cut fries, the Texas toast. But 300 hungry guests and no chicken. That's a problem. I mean, come on. So all look lost. So here's what happened. Maple Grove, Minnesota. Minnesota's got some of the nicest people in the world.
Can we rewind back for a second? 300 and they only had 600 chicken nuggets? That's two nuggets apiece? It's a bad...
300 fingers, yeah. 300 nuggets.
Well, did they get their money back?
Need more fingers. Go ahead.
The manager at Maple Grove's Raising Cane's location hit the fryer. Got him 200 chicken fingers before the party started. Showed up an hour into the party, got him 400 more.
Wow.
How about that?
Wow.
No additional charge. Stepping up. Saving the chicken day. Then the graduation party as well.
I would hope no additional charge.
So, well, yeah, there shouldn't be, but I'm saying that the manager stepped up.
Yeah.
So,
whatever.
And you and I know. Listen, you and I know they don't. The chicken fingers, the perpetrator, the evil chicken stealer, could still be out there.
And he got them for free.
So people in Minneapolis, St. Paul, guard your chicken fingers. I'm just saying.
Wouldn't be that hard to find them, would it? I mean, just find another graduation party going on.
Yeah.
Another party or
whatever.
A couple
of creeps with all the chicken fingers. So there you go. You know, in a world of tough news, that's good news. I'm bringing it to you. I'm bringing you the good chicken news.
Do you think that was an intentional stolen chicken nugget? Somebody was like, there's got to be a huge order in there. I'm going to go in. I'm going to get their chicken nuggets. And I'm going to have food for 3 weeks.
That sounds like an inside job. Sounds like somebody heard about it and went in. I don't know how else you'd know.
Make something up. Just say, hey, I'm picking up this for you, my parents. And, you know, I don't know what name they gave, but it's a huge party.
How else would you know there's...
Oh, here they are.
But how else would you know there's a huge order unless you heard something, right?
There's always a huge order.
Somebody wasn't invited to the party. Huh? There you go. Somebody not invited to the party. A little upset. I'm taking your chicken.
Mm-hmm. That's probably a dead on. A friend of mine recently just crashed a wedding, Steve. Legit just Googled June 2nd weddings. Showed up. Had drinks. Somebody,
it's got to be a nightmare for you.
Somebody showed up.
Sit down at the table?
Yep. Two seats available. They were eyeing it. The speeches were going on. Nobody sat there. Sat down at the table. Had dinner. And then at the end of the night, they're in the last photos with the bride and the groom. Everyone's drunk.
Did he lose a bet or something? Nightmare. Or what made him do that?
He just always wanted to do it. And him and his roommate made it happen.
Watches the movie too much.
No
wedding
kidding. Coming up, stand by. Jim Gaffigan on the way.
Bacon's the best. Even the frying of bacon sounds like applause. It's like, yay, bacon! You want to know how good bacon is? To improve other food, they wrap it in bacon. If it weren't for bacon, we wouldn't even know what a water chestnut is.
Thank you, bacon. Sincerely, Water Chestnut III.
And those bits of bacon like the fairy dust of the food community.
You don't want this baked potato?
Bring! Now it's your favorite part of the meal. Not interested in a salad? Bibbidi-bobbidi bacon! I just turn it into an entree.
The Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Bacon. We continue at 9:40. Chris, a lot have been following that feud that Jim Gaffigan and I had in the Enquirer and other places, but I'm glad we were able to make up.
We moved on.
Yeah, because it was rough for a while.
I like how you had the announcer there. Who was the announcer there?
That was the great Bill Curtis.
The great Bill Curtis. Yeah. Now he is. I mean, I've known him my entire childhood, right? And now he's kind of associated with real crimes.
Yes, he is.
Yeah. Right? So, he's...
We believe he's committing many.
Right?
You run short on material, you go out and off somebody.
And he also, he's on an NPR show, too, right?
He's got his own network. He's got a network called Decades. And the Decades takes a particular day, like today, June 10th, and looks back at news coverage over June 10th about stuff that happened. And he comes in and he narrates it, and it's great. I mean, honestly, if
best
you had
voice ever.
Oh, if you had phone sex, you'd have it with him, right? Just to hear that voice.
I have, but yeah.
Well, you're at a different level of show business.
Right.
What am I supposed to say? We're going to talk about your movie, Being Frank, which, by the way, looks great.
Oh, thank you.
Want to introduce the lovely lady next to you?
Yes, this is Miranda Bailey, the director of the film.
Hello.
Was he temperamental as talent?
Very temperamental.
Yeah, look at...
No. I was expecting way more temperamental.
Really?
Yes. No, he was incredibly easy and quite talented.
He's really good. You know, and I've told people for a long time what a terrific actor you are, and they went, okay.
Yeah.
And I think people are finally starting to catch on. I mean, look at the work you get. You got like 48 films in the next year.
Yeah, but this one's the best.
That is the best.
For the record.
It's only taken 30 years.
Overnight sensation.
Overnight sensation.
Is it going to cut into the comedy?
No.
Well, don't get defensive. Don't be yelling at me. What do you mean, no? No!
No, well, I just think it's interesting because I'll do interviews and people are like, so, now you're doing the acting. Are you going to still do stand-up? I'm like, of course I'm still going
to. Like,
do
you have to pick one. You can't pick one. You can't have both.
It's like, it's not like I did 30 years of stand-up so that I could do acting. You know, it's like, it's something that, you know, I enjoy doing both of them. You know, one of you know, stand up, you can come up with an idea and go on stage. Whereas, like, acting, you have to be fortunate enough for someone like Miranda to cast you in a film. You know what I mean?
And were you looking at Jim right away? You can tell us now. The movie's made and it's great.
Yeah. Oh, as the first choice?
Yeah.
No, I had no idea who Jim was.
There you go.
That's hurtful.
She does.
You know, this is hurtful.
You know what I mean?
I didn't see him as, I didn't know him as a stand up artist at all. Our mutual friend, Danielle, who worked on my Mike Birbiglia movie, was working on the Jim Gaffigan show, and so I turned it on to support her to see what she was doing, and I was like, wait, that's my guy. Pull the offer from Owen, what's
from
his name?
Clooney. Tell Clooney to stay home.
It was like, you know, yeah. And I was like, that's the one I want. And, you know, of course, we had to go through Jeannie, because Jeannie... Yes, is the wife. Boss.
Yeah, the boss. Rightfully so.
So Jeannie
We're
was
all
like, yeah.
frightened of her.
Well, yeah. Why wouldn't you be?
Right?
I've met her. She's beautiful and scary.
So they went they went for good looking. They went with a good looking
suave,
guy.
Debonair.
Because I've auditioned for many things over the past 100 years.
We're not talking about the softcore stuff, right?
And not the softcore stuff.
Okay.
You didn't
and
have
there
to
were
audition
many
for that.
Conversations where my agent would say they went with the good looking guy. They went with a good-looking guy, or they needed some diversity in the cast.
I've
lost out to Cedric the Entertainer many times.
That's the next special.
He was my
they
backup.
Went with a good-looking guy.
They went with a good-looking guy.
All right, so the story, where'd you find it?
Well, it was a script
right.
That came to me from my agent, and it was about a 17-year-old boy whose father was having a second family. And
in the same town!
In a different town.
Oh, I thought it was the same
town. Cross state lines.
Yeah, but not far enough away.
No, not far enough away.
Well, that was the 90s.
Yes.
The swinging 90s.
The movie was originally set in the modern day, and, you know, we changed a lot of it. So.
Well, I think about Jim with your 37 kids. You remember when you were on the show with me at one point, and Donny Osmond called and said, you've had enough. We're cutting you off.
Yeah. Donny Osmond, when he tells you to stop having kids.
And
so it was a Mormon intervention.
So the idea that you would do a movie involving not one but two families with more kids, you just can't get away from it.
Yeah. No. In real life, I have more kids than in these combined families.
Is that right?
Yes. There's two in each of these families.
And you got five.
And I've got five. I've got a spare.
And you memorize them all?
Memorize all the names? Yeah. I mean, kind of.
I have the flashcards you handed me when you walked in.
It's the quiz. One of them looks like me. That makes it easier.
Ah, that's helpful.
And then there's four good-looking ones.
Sure.
And then, there was... I don't even know what we're talking about.
We're talking about the fact that you, with all these children,
yes.
did a movie about a guy with two families.
It's insane. And by the way, it was like there was a moment, I was so excited about this opportunity, and then like my wife inconveniently got a brain tumor.
Mm-hmm. So selfish of her.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Because she didn't want me to succeed. And she got a brain tumor, and so we were like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this movie. Like,
probably should help at home a little.
There were I remember one day we had a rehearsal where I was going to meet the actor who was going to play one of my sons.
Mm-hmm.
And I called Miranda. I was like, I'm going to be late because there was huge drama. Life is filled with drama. And I was like, I'm going to be late. And so, I wondered, were you guys his wife?
No, I mean, we knew, obviously. And then I was.
But did you have meetings at that point going, we got to go with Clooney now? I mean, did you have those kind of meetings?
No, I was not going to have. I was going to stop the. Personally, I was going to stop.
You're a good person.
Wait. No, I'm not. But just for the record.
By the way, just so people know that don't know, Jeannie's good. Jeannie's doing great. Yeah. She just wrote a book about the whole experience.
Yes, and it's available for pre-order.
Okay. What's it called?
It's called When Life Gives You Pears.
Mm-hmm. And the reason was because I believe if that's right, the pear-sized tumor.
Yes, that it was a pear-sized tumor.
Well, you wrote Noble Ape while we were shooting.
Yes, yes.
So he was kind of practicing material on set, making fun of his wife's tumor.
Right. Not my wife. The tumor.
The tumor. That's right. Right. Making fun of the tumor.
It's an important distinction.
And I think that also made all of us be like, it's okay and it's light. And, you know, I mean, humor comes from tragedy most of the time.
So when you get a script that you like, how much can you touch it up as director? Does it depend on the script and depend on the producers and all that?
Yes, it does. And luckily, I was one of the producers and I touched
it up. So you were the boss.
109%. And then... He touched it up like another 100%.
Do you get an angry writer when that happens?
Who
cares?
I think Glenn
who cares?
Is very
you paid
happy.
For it.
He has a movie that it's his idea and it's his original characters and it's going out and it's being made. I mean, you know, that's a great thing.
We about once a year, well, maybe not that often. Once every 5 years, we'll hear about somebody that's got two families.
Yeah.
Oh, it happened at every film festival that I was at, except for one. Someone raised their hand in the audience and said, I know someone who this happened to.
Yes.
I was shocked.
When we were shooting one of the houses that we used, they're like, oh, yeah, next door, there was a guy that had two families. It's everywhere. Charles Crawled had two families.
Yes, he did, which is so bizarre. How do you research this? Do you do research for the role?
I had sex with numerous women.
Well, but what else is new?
No, you know, it's weird. It's you know, like this role, because the guy also has different relationships with his different spouses and his you know, children. So, like,
keeping
some
it fresh.
Of it is like, I mean, I have enough voices in my head where it's like, and there's also different roles, by the way. It's like, the dad you were for your older kids, is that the same dad that your younger kids are getting?
Sure.
Not necessarily. And so, but we're, it was an ongoing discussion because sometimes I would be like, because I believe, and this is not necessarily reflected in the movie, but I believe that, like, your spouse is a huge influence on the type of parent you are.
Well, I agree with that, sure.
In this movie, it's a, it's more of an analysis of who this guy was supposed to, like, one of the spouses is, like, who he wants to be, and one of the spouses is who he was supposed to be.
And you're a traveling salesman?
No. I'm,
how do you explain being out of town?
It's, he owns a ketchup manufacturing company. Of course.
Ketchup baron.
Well, my grandfather was, you know, he worked at Heinz, so that's how that
happened. Oh, the ketchup, he actually was a ketchup baron.
Yeah. Yeah. Not a baron. So. He worked at Heinz. He wasn't Heinz.
Oh, he wasn't one of the Heinz?
He, like, worked at the factory. That's, you know.
Yeah. Do you remember as a kid, you always got sweet deals on ketchup? Like, you never ran out? You never had that bottle where you squirted it and it sounded like gas?
Never.
Never had one of those?
They were glass.
But, you know, back in the day, there wasn't the squeeze bottle. I was explaining that to my children at dinner. I was like,
gotta hit it.
They're used to, like, you could do
fork.
Maybe squeeze fork. Mustard, but, like, there was no mayonnaise in a squeeze thing.
No.
The progress we've made
as a country, society.
I think we're incredible. Going back to glass, though. I really do.
There's, we're even squeezing out relish.
Cheese.
What? Now that's crazy.
We're squeezing out relish now. I mean, it is just America is.
Well, you've said for a long time your goal is to have all food products in a squeezable container.
That's my goal. I mean, yeah. I'm part astronaut, so that's why.
I can't wait for your Thanksgiving dinner. Your squeezable Thanksgiving dinner.
Squeezable.
Which is mashed potatoes.
Well, the entire turkey.
I feel like there's a trend away from, like, having turkey at Thanksgiving, and it just kind of annoys me.
Well, that happened with Jeannie, right? Didn't her Thanksgiving wasn't at all squeezable?
It was all, well, she was, you know, my wife had, this is hysterical, she had paralysis of her throat, and so she would had to consume mostly liquids.
And this was over Thanksgiving?
She couldn't eat. My wife couldn't eat for, like, a month. And she happened to be married to a guy who built a career on being a glutton.
And loving food.
And we all sent her, like, get-well gift baskets. And
everyone sends food.
Right.
And I would just eat the food in a closet with my male lover.
Well, she'd hurt you.
She was, like, but we used to, and it's detailed in the book, because it was one of those things, like, when we would do dinner, I would have to put, like, towels under doors so that she wouldn't have to be subjected to the smell.
Well, but for people who don't know Jeannie, she's always been this fabulously in shape, beautiful woman who I don't think ever overate in her life, did she?
No. Well, she's also got the metabolism of, like, a 12-year-old.
Okay, well, you seem like you're still bitter about that.
I'm a little angry about that.
Now, before I forget, because I will, because I'm at that point in my life, every star has, you know, a clothing line or some big endorsable name brand thing. Right. Why aren't you doing a food line of some kind? Why hasn't somebody come to you and said, I want to put out Gaffigan meat?
Meat. Gaffigan meat.
Gaffigan meat. I want a line of Gaffigan cows that I can use.
Well, some of it is that I feel like that's a little icky. But, there's been some stuff. But, like, there was
what's the greatest meeting you were ever in like that that didn't turn out to be anything?
There was they wanted to do a beer.
Okay.
And I contemplated, because then I was like, all right, it could all go to charity. And then I was like, you know what? It's too complicated. And it's also, there's a certain ickiness, right? Mm-hmm. You don't want to, like, be, I'm always trying to make money. Sell. You know, like, I have t-shirts that, like, have, like, so that Amazon, they did, like, these, jokes, you know, where they're on a t-shirt, and I still feel kind of almost icky about that.
Oh, where they took stuff from the act?
But in the end, I'm okay with it. Not just, enough to say no.
You just don't need to develop new stuff necessarily.
Right.
Yeah. You're doing a Q&A for this movie. I want to talk about that when we come back.
Yes.
We'll tell people about it in just a second. Being Frank opens Friday.
Yes.
No, not this Friday. Next Friday.
Oh, and it's next Friday.
Like, next it does open Friday. On a Friday.
One of the Fridays. It opens
Chicago,
next Friday.
The 21st. Friday the 21st, yes.
Okay, so it's a couple weeks away, so we have time to plan.
You have time to plan.
Yeah. Get your tickets in advance.
We like to do press really early.
Yes.
Yeah.
But we have a special sneak screening tonight.
And because, a Q&A.
You know, it's Chicago. It's Jim's town, and he wanted to give it to his family.
Well, that's great. That's great. I'm glad you're here, bud. Good to see you. 9:52. We'll come back with more in a moment. Jim Gaffigan's here. The movie's called Being Frank. What's the subtitle? I forgot.
You can choose your family.
That's it. That's it. More in a moment on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Back with the star and director of Being Frank. I don't know if you heard, it opens on the 21st here in Chicago. And there's a Q&A coming up. Madam Director, please identify yourself again for the kids.
Hello, my name is Miranda Bailey. I directed Being Frank.
Yes.
She's George Bailey's daughter.
Oh, well, fantastic.
Well, that's a gift from Mr. Potter.
That's actually pretty strong. You've been working on that, or is that
well, a little... well, you don't understand here. You sit around and you weave your web. Well, you're nothing more than a warped, twisted old radio DJ.
I would, oh, you bastard! I would love to hear you doing your entire special as Jimmy Stewart.
Is that
hey,
who that
check
was?
Check me out! I'm giving an angel wings.
All right, tell me about this Q&A and special screening. Either one of you.
It's a special screening
and a Q&A
at Landmark Cinema tonight. It's sold out.
Okay. But if you line up and like start pounding, I'll bet you they give us another screening.
Yeah.
It's possible. We got two. We sold out New York and L.A. and got extra screenings there.
Is it going to be online anywhere where people can see it?
Online?
Yeah. You're gonna,
online.
You're going to put it up somewhere?
Yeah. You know, 90 days from now.
Okay.
Well, the movie or tickets?
Talking about tonight.
Tonight's tickets, yes, they are actually on landmarktheaters.com.
Right, but the Q&A tonight, will you show that?
Oh, that's
I thought about,
interesting.
You know, put, you know, I'm an idea man.
You
put
are an idea man.
Yeah, well, you've known that for a long time.
I've known that
I've never had a good idea.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. That's a great idea, man.
Do you want to borrow my phone?
I was going to say, do you have like a camera team we could use for free?
Bill, what are you doing tonight? Are you available?
I could shoot this. What millimeter?
It's an indie film, so, you know, we still have a small
budget. Can I ask something? Why is everyone in this room not wearing pants? I find that uncomfortable. Why do you have a microscope on your lap?
Well, because it's time for your annual checkup.
Okay.
I mean, I think that's good.
Zingity zang zang zing.
Yeah. I think you remember what we found last time.
Yeah? This is going to be the best Father's Day this weekend.
What is it like for you with five kids? Do you get a lot of stuff?
Disappointing.
Yeah, do you get a lot of stuff? Not so much.
What? First of all, these kids, they don't get me anything. They don't even, like when I was a kid, you'd make your dad junk.
Mm-hmm.
They don't even make junk anymore.
They don't even give you crap you can throw out.
I don't think they do. They'll do some drawings.
Like something that macaroni glued onto something. Nothing like that?
I think there's too many kids at school that have weed allergies. So,
so now
I don't know. I'm sure I'll get some stuff and I'll pretend like
which of your kids is your favorite?
And then I'll throw it away.
Yeah, of course you will. Which of your kids is your favorite? I mean, order them. Like, you know.
I don't want this to come out the wrong way, but
right.
I don't like any of them.
Oh, you don't?
No, I don't have a favorite.
I don't think that's true. Like, if you were to rank them, like a preseason college basketball ranking.
Yeah, you know, it's weird. People bring that up, but, like, some of it is, I think I make such an effort, because, like, my middle child is on my phone,
mm-hmm.
and there's always kind of, like, navigating, making sure that they all get their equal. I'm a great guy.
But honestly, at the level of stardom you're at now, do you even let them look you directly in the eye?
No. 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 I mean, they're staying in a different building. I have a whole building
right.
for me, and then I have a kid building. It's called kid building.
Now, if they need you to help with homework, do they call your agent?
They call their, you know, they're supervisors that they can do.
Okay.
I am so, like, the homework help, I don't know how I got, like, I have a fourth grader. I don't know what she's doing in fourth grade. Like, their story structure, like, I tell stories for a living.
Sure.
And they're like, you know, the protagonist and all this. And I'm like, I never learned that stuff.
Right. Why would you start now?
I don't know. I think that's a reflection on Northwest Indiana.
Oh, it's possible. As a stretch. You know what you might want to do, though? Because
yeah.
I did this with
what
my
do
kids.
I want to do?
Cheat on other parents. Go to other parents. Cheat with them. Get them to help you.
Get them. That's a good
idea. Again, a star of your level, just have them come over to the house.
Yeah. You know, or they can Skype in.
Or I think you can just like pay your way into college now, right?
You can do that, right?
Aunt Becky, is she in this one? I love you, man. It's great seeing you.
It's good to see you too.
I don't think you mean that.
I do. Steve
Connor
Cochran.
Yeah,
Cochran.
And this is Bill and Wendy. They're coming up next.
Bill, what are the... Oh, I'm so excited.
Oh, no. Thank you.
What are you guys going to talk about?
We've got your kids coming on. They have a very different story to tell,
Jim.
Oh,
is this... Oh, this is like...
It's a full-on intervention.
Yep.
We need a break?
When's Fahey Flynn coming on?
Wow. Good poll.
Good poll, right?
Strong. We'll come back in a second. And this is the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, where Steve will be next. Go see Being Frank. Hi, Bill. Hi, Wendy.
Steve.
Good morning.
Congratulations on the Tony Award last night. Well deserved.
Felt good about it.
Well deserved.
Yeah, felt good about it. I got there and I thought, my name's not Tony.
Right.
I felt totally out of place. Because I thought it was only awards for guys named Tony.
No.
Turned out not to be the case.
They've broadened the field considerably.
So, what are you guys doing today? And I don't mean on the show. I mean in general. What are you doing later on?
We're hanging out.
Have some lunch. Breathe a little bit. Walk.
What is on the show today?
Eric Zorn will be in here. We're going to talk about some fun
Eric
things.
Zorn was a Cub fan his entire life and has decided that for
it's
many
over?
Reasons, he's going to be a White Sox fan.
And we'll take him.
Tough transition.
Wow.
On the Sox side.
Is there withdrawal symptoms and things that he has to go through?
We'll find out. I don't know how he's going to handle
nice
this.
Nice tease.
Yeah.
No, solid.
Yeah, thank you.
I'll come back tomorrow. And Mark Carmen, thank you for filling in.
Good to be here, Steve.
Hope we didn't wreck the marriage.
I think we're okay. Appreciate the support.
Good. Here's Wendy.